Blog Talk Radio.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, step into the palace. Better check your matters, refine divine savage. Not average, dunny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sin that pure ugly. Hug me, polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I answer if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden cause my heat's there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now pure glisten. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dude's house, spoiled.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the guff on that Turner style, untainted. A messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross right. Step into Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money I ride, survive all your lives. Most high too good, so I keep staying high. Why parable, GQ, not comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, with colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
All right, Don and Diva, welcome. I am your host, Rich Money. And welcome to another episode of GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we did a repeat episode due to the fact of me having a family reunion, which I must say it was a beautiful thing. The Pride cousins came out, the family had a ball and everything. I gotta give a special thanks to my baby Lavina, who did most everything that needed to be done because I was gone. We both was tired. Then from there, we went to my cousin Craig, out of my grandma's house. My cousin Craig had a birthday party. Happy birthday to him. Also give a happy birthday early. Happy birthday shout out to my mom. Her birthday is Monday, you know. But last week episode, you know, we had a repeat of Mike G from the Jungle Brothers, so you could check that out and a couple of other things that was going on. To check out last week's episode, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and type in GQ Palace. That's G-E-E-Q-U-E Palace and check out the archives. Tonight, we're doing something a little different for y'all. You know, we're going to play some music as usual, and if you want to call in and give a topic, then that's cool. And we discuss your topic on a general question while we're playing some of the up-and-coming artists' new music. At that, we have up-and-coming artist B-O-M-B, Bomb, in a building. And we're going to find out what his inspiration and goals as an up-and-coming artist. Then after B-O-M-B tonight, we have author Gene Miller. And we're going to talk to him about his novel, his book, That's Hitting a Nation Hard, Bingo Is Not a Game. So stay right there and don't move. This is Rich Money on DQ College Radio. Love and entertainment. It's fun, baby.
Where my South Side girls at? I like a South Side girl with a South Side swag. Like a South Side girl, but she look real bad. Where my South Side girls at? Like a South Side girl with a South Side swag. Like a South Side girl, but
yeah,
she look real bad.
Look, I like my South Side girls, real pretty like. Smile just light up her face like city lights. Attitude like Diddy, no biggie like. On the low dope, she be killing them really nice. I be like, go ahead, do your thing. You the baddest in this town I ever seen. You could catch him on the app with a team. I wouldn't say shorty mad, but a body mean. Pull to the floor crazy, juicy guitar baby. Or just throw her with the flavor overall maybe. Don't get it twisted, I blow kisses at the north ladies. That's just me, I love all ladies. Gotta love them South chicks like Macy's, I see why. And they all show me love when I breeze by. They like he fly, they heard my left stroke sting. So my pipe gang buzzing like beehives.
Where my South Side girls at? I like a South Side girl with a South Side swag. Like a South Side girl, cause she look real bad. Where my South Side girls at? Like a South Side girl with a South Side swag. Like a South Side girl, cause she look real bad.
Huh, you know them South Side girls? Swagger right, make the mother chick step it up, ladder tight. If it's pretty, Hello Kitty, yeah, scratch it right. And you know she come with extras, so she tatted nice. I like them ghetto with they mind right. To the left, if you treat them like a slime type. Plus she flies to the sky, I don't climb heights. But I lick her down, if she whine right. Real bad, and she looking like a diva. I'm a Gia, I'ma show her all my features. She told you she'd be back, but she about to leave ya. I gotta say, oh baby, no Justin Bieber. To the next kick, yeah, she the shit. DJ, turntables, get her in the mix. What a set, nigga, yeah, that's who you with. If we ain't on Fifth Ave, find us in the brick.
Where my South Side girls at? I like a South Side girl with a South Side swag. Like a South Side girl, cause she look real bad. Where my South Side girls at? Like a South Side girl with a South Side swag. Like a South Side girl, cause she look real bad.
You know, I want to relax tonight. I just want to sit back and relax. So tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring on a special guest to take over the show. And I just want to sit back and relax. You know, I've been doing so much. Then we got this big event going on August 25th at Club Allure. Don't forget, it's going to be bananas. 3302 Queens Boulevard. We got DJ Coco Chanel going to be in the building. LaToya Times on Video City going to be in the building. Russ Riders, me, myself, Rich Money, and the GQ College family going to be in the building. We got performances by Anaya Armstead. We got performances by Casanova Rudd. We got my man Sway coming in the building with his equipment. We also might have a special guest from him, you know, performing as well. It's going to be crazy August 25th at Club Allure, 3302 Queens Boulevard, nonstop being in effect. Shout out to my man Santana. So what I want to do tonight, It's the family reunion and the birthday party. Then I got kids going on, two events going on. Also, don't forget, August 25th between 10 and 6 is an event going on Lawrence Page. Pastor Al, he will be up in the building. And they'll be giving out food supplies and everything for the kids for Baptist school. That's going to be on Lawrence Page between Burns High and University. Don't forget about that. Now, what I want to do is I want to bring on a special guest. My fiance, my baby, my love, Lavina Polite. What she gonna do? She has a topic she wanna discuss. She's the executive producer. She's also the host for the Sunday show on Spirit of Sunday. So she's gonna take over for this hour, and I'm gonna sit back and relax. I'm gonna stay on the tune with her and everything. She has a topic that she wants to discuss as well. So feel free to call in and give your opinion on the topics and your advice and everything. All right. Lavina, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
How are you? How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay. I can't call it. I might spoil it. But like I was explaining to the people, I want to do something different. I want to do something different this week. I want to sit back and relax, you know? You know, I want you to know you have a topic. You know, you can definitely present the topics to the audience and everything, and people could call in and give their feedback. But, you know, like I said, we also going to be playing some, you know, music from the R&B artists, upper unknown R&B artists as well, and hip-hop artists is playing their music as well, presenting a topic. So go ahead with your topic. It's on you.
Okay. Well, first I want to say thank you, Rich Money, because, of course, there's no show this Sunday, so there'll be no spiritual Sunday.
See why I got you there? Right. I don't forgot.
there's no spiritual Sunday or Crossroads Temple this Sunday. So I do thank you for allowing me to come on and do the general questions guest this evening. My topic is, what does family mean to you? And with that topic, I believe that, you know, that topic can pretty much go anywhere. Do you believe that you can survive without the family? Do you think that you need the family? And how important is it to you? You know, and I came up with that topic from the family reunion that we just celebrated, only because my family has a family reunion, I think, once in a while, I think. But either way, I've only went once, I think. So I think family is important, but can I survive without them? I guess my extended family, I don't really talk to them like that. So I'm curious to see, after seeing like all of your family come together and people come from all over, you know, how important is it to people? Like, is it just important, like, for your family that everyone just came together and had a wonderful time and just, you know, like you said, family that came that you haven't seen in a long time? Like, how important is it? So that's my topic for this evening.
Well, you know what? To me, I'm not going to lie, it's very important. Because as you can see, it started at 12 with my family reunion, and as you can see, around 3 o'clock, I was pissed off because ain't nobody show up yet. I was really, really pissed off. But around 3:30, everybody started coming. So I think it means a lot, especially when you're planning something for your family. If you're planning something for your family, you want that family to come and enjoy themselves because you're putting all the hard work and effort into this for them. You understand what I mean? So that's why I say when around 12 o'clock and nobody showed up, and then 1 o'clock, and then 2 o'clock, okay, now the temperature's starting to rise. Because I'm like, where are they at? They all said they're coming, so where they at? And one person that was there, she's like, Poppy, where be family? Where be family? And I'm sitting there, I'm looking, you know, I ain't gonna lie, I'm looking stupid like, oh, Lord, where are they at? But around 3:30, everybody just started coming all at once. Everybody just started flooding and everything, which made me feel real good. So I really believe that family is real important in life. You understand? Regardless of the fact, even if you got family that you consider friends or family, somebody that's always there, somebody that's been there, you understand? To me, it's a big part in life, and to me, it's a very big part, because I don't only consider my family as my family. I consider friends as my family as well, because I feel I treat them the same way. You understand what I mean?
I understand, but that's a tricky situation, Rich Money. That's very tricky. But we do have a caller that wants to go on the air this evening.
Okay. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, too?
And who are we speaking to this evening?
This is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. Thank you for joining us this evening. The topic for the GQ General question is, how important is family to you? Do you think it's very important, or do you think it's something that you can live without in your life?
I think family is very important. Very important. It was instilled in me at a very young age. We had a very close, tight-knit family, and so we are very, very close. I mean, very, very close. But there are some family members that I can live without. I can give the cold shoulder and treat as if they were not even my blood-related family. due to their actions and their lifestyle, and I could just brush them off as if they weren't even family, and then take someone, you know, as in one of my friends, a few of my friends even, as my family before I'd even take that family member as a family.
Right.
I heard Rich Money say that he even considers a lot of friends family. He treats them the same way as he would treat his family, and I can agree with him on that. There are some friends of mine that I just consider my family.
And Rich Money also mentioned how, you know, like having friends that he treats, you know, that are like his family as well. And the only thing to me is that I have a handful of those, you know, but my thing is I'm learning as a individual to learn to look past things, you know, because I believe sometimes, you know, your friends take your kindness for a weakness, you know, and they prey on that, the same as your family do. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, what I'm learning is, because I have some of this in my family, too, where, like, okay, I can be 5 minutes away from them, and I'll say hi when I see you, but I'm not going to sit and hold a conversation with you because I'm not feeling you like that, you know?
Right.
And with me not feeling you, I can't be fake and phony because I'm not feeling you, you know? So
right.
My thing is, if I can have my family, that's my blood family, and if they rub me the wrong way more than once, it's like, all right, I'm cool. Like, all right, I'm just going to, you know, isolate myself from you and do what I have to do. So when a friend does that to you, to me, I just feel like, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, exclude you real quick only because I wouldn't let my family get away with it, you know?
Right.
So I hear what Rich Money is saying, but at the same time, I think that's like a, you know, the question I would have for Rich Money is, if a friend treated you wrong, would you still consider them family?
I wouldn't. It depends on, to be truthful, what's the wrongdoing that they did? You understand? Because a person could do, you know, you got people that do things intentionally, but then you got people that do things that's not intentional. Then you got people that try to upset you, but don't really be meaning to upset you. It's all different categories. I'm serious. It's all different categories on how you look at it. You understand now?
Right.
If it came down to them, too, I mean, if I feel it's something serious, if I feel it's something serious, then no, I'm not going to be bothered with it. You understand? It's going to take me some time to actually get back with them, but I'm not going to just completely throw them away. I'll be like such and such if I knew them for a certain amount of time and I know how they are. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
If it comes down to the fact where it's something that's real and it's disrespectful in a matter to me and to my family, then yes, I'm not going to be involved with it. But we do have another call on the line.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to bring them on. Hello, call, are you there?
Yes, I am. How's everyone?
Hello.
Hi. Hey.
Hello.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm this is Rich Money. I'm sitting back for tonight on
okay.
a general question. So I got my beautiful fiance, lovely host of Spiritual Juice Sunday, executive producer, extraordinaire, Miss Lavina Polite. Miss Lavina Polite taking over
all
for
that,
tonight on a general question.
Okay. You deserve a break.
Yes.
The topic for this evening is what does family mean to you? And do you believe that you can exclude your family and continue on with your life? That's the topic for this evening.
Okay, well, me, I would have to say my family is very, very important to me. Because for the simple fact, I lost my mother at a very young age, which I was only 11. Before that, though, we used to, like, do family reunions every single year, different states and everything like that. So we always kept up with family. But once my mother passed, then it was like all of that stopped because my dad just gave up. You know, he didn't want to do anything. He quit driving. He quit doing everything. Then when I was 18, he passed. So it was like some of the family had moved to Charleston, which is like 3 hours away. And me being the baby of the family, you know, it was really hard for me to adjust, you know. And at that time, it was like I got pregnant with my son. Mm-hmm. And I was going through a lot, you know, and I was like here and there. And then I eventually moved to Charleston with the rest of my family. And, like, I feel like right now all I have is my siblings, you know, which is one sister and 5 brothers. Well, and I almost can say 4 brothers because one brother, we haven't seen him since my sister passed in 2000. So to me, family is very, very important, you know, on my part.
Can I ask? Now, see, that's what I mean by family. Okay, you said, you know, make sure you rest in peace, your mom's past, but then your father cut it. Everybody
uh-huh.
wants to come together and be like, okay, let's get us together. And, you know, because once a couple been together for a certain amount of time, when they lose that spouse, they, you know, they say the next spouse, you know, they love one, go right after them.
Yeah, because he just gave up. They were together, what was it, 40 plus years? And when she passed, it was like he even told us. He said, "I have nothing to live for now." He said, "I have my kids, but my soulmate, my everything is gone." And like I said, he just went downhill from the year in 73 when she passed. My father just went downhill. He grieved himself to death because the night that he got, well, he said he wasn't even sick. He said he was wanting to go home and be with mom. You know, he said, "You're old enough to reach for your bread." So, you know, he said, "I'm tired." He said, "I won't be back."
Wow.
You know,
and
that really bugged me.
Sadness.
Yeah.
Huh? I've heard of people die of sadness. I've heard of it. I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
Until recently. Yeah, it's
It
sad.
Was 6 years, but still, you know, I'm serious. My father was very, very active. He would drive anywhere. He would do everything. And after she died, it wasn't even a good 2 or 3 months. You know, he just stopped everything. You know, he didn't drink before then. Then he started drinking. And, I mean, I was young. And at that time, I was living with my aunt in Alabama. So, you know, that was even more harder for me because of all the things that I've explained to you guys before, what happened there. You know, so when I called my father and told him either I come home or I run away, I didn't care what happened to me at that time. You know, all I wanted was my family. You know, yeah, it was my aunt, my mother's sister, but the way that I was getting treated, I didn't feel like it was family. You know.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Do you think that with experiencing all of that, do you think that that helps you with your relationship that you have with your family now to this day? Or do you think that it hurts you? It doesn't help, it hurts.
Are you talking about, like, my siblings or family in general?
No, with everything, the way your mom passed and your dad passed and you went to your aunt's house and you didn't really feel like you were welcome, you know, treated fairly. And then, you know, you being a mother yourself, do you think that with everything that you have been through, that helps you be a better, you know, a better mom, a better parent to keep your family, meaning your kids, together? Or do you think that hurts you?
Actually, I think it helped me because, you know, some of the situations I went through with my daughter, you know, and it took someone like you and a few others to tell me, hey, you got to be the bigger and better person, you know, regardless, because you are the mother. You know, why go to bed mad? And like you say, God forbid something had happened and I didn't say I love you. Or we, you know, one of us passed and it was anger and animosity. So to me, I think it helped me. And some of the things that I go through today, it helps me to be closer to my family and some of my close-knit people, you know, that's been there for me as well. You know, I've been going through some things, and like I said the other day, you know, even though it wasn't even for 2 hours, but I got to see my sister, and I hadn't seen her since, what was it, April? You know, because she's in West Virginia. And sometimes I go through my little changes now, you know, because I'm so far away from them. And all the time I can't get there, because every year we, like, it was just us, you know, like the siblings. My sister passed May the 25th. So we made, like, Memorial Day, our little personal family reunion, you know, just the siblings. And, you know, everybody else has been going, but it's been a few couple of years that I haven't been able to go, you know, for different reasons. And it really bothers me, you know, because, like I said, we are very, very close. You know, I at least talk to my family members 2 or 3 times a week, you know, each one of them. And when I don't talk to them, you know, it just don't seem right. It doesn't seem right. And when I was there in April, when I got ready to leave, I cried so hard, you know, and they were like, well, it's time for you to come back down here closer. You know, because all of them work in the way that they work. It hurts, you know, that my family can't get away, you know, to visit. So we're trying to plan something this year for Thanksgiving for everybody to get together. You know, because some of the kids, like, okay, take for instance, like my daughter's side, her father's side, right? She don't know half of the people. You know, and she comes to me a lot and it bothers her that she don't even know half of her cousins. They're on Facebook together, but she'll be like, Mom, who is this? Oh, that's my uncle, that's my aunt. She don't even know these people.
Wow.
You know? And when her cousin passed, you know, she was devastated because she was close to her. She, you know, she was older. Matter of fact, she gave her a middle name, but she was devastated when she died. And I went through some changes with Key because even like when my sister passed, that was her aunt / godmother. And, you know, every year she went to be with her, you know, and because we were in North Carolina at that time. And she went through a lot of changes. I never really got a chance to grieve about my sister. And I think that's why now when it comes to her birthday, and when she passed, I take it so hard, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. To me, my family is very, very, very important, you know.
And Rachel, I know you personally as well. How do you keep your family together? Because you have a lot of sisters and, you know, how does that work for you? Do you see yourself being as close as you guys always were, or do you think that as you tend to, you know, get older, that everyone kind of like starts to stray?
I must say that we have all remained close. We were, there are four of us, four girls, no brothers. And
wow.
We were always very close growing up. And what my father passed away when we had all had, so we were all adults pretty much. From our teens to like early 20s, maybe, yeah, somewhere around there. So, and it hit us really hard because we didn't expect it. He just all of a sudden just passed away from a heart attack at the age of 45. So it shocked us all, but it made us all come even closer because we felt we had to, you know, number one, be there for mom, and then, you know, we had to be there for each other. And we remained close through it all. Prior to that, growing up, every year we would go down south to North Carolina to our family reunion twice, once a year, and then another time during the year. So we knew our North Carolina family and both sides of our families we were very close with. We're still very close with. We don't travel as often, but my sisters and I, we are, believe it or not, we all live in the same area. One of us once in a while might move. Yeah, my baby sister moved to North Carolina for maybe half a year one time. My older sister moved to Florida for a year or two. We always migrate back to the same area. So we are all within, a four mile radius of each other. One sister stays with me. One sister stays a block away. One sister stays like maybe a mile down the road. And we're all very close. Very close. And my mother retired. She retired, remarried to a wonderful pastor who is our stepdad now. And we love him so much. And they're in North Carolina. And we're all very close. All very close.
That's great. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, what would you guys say to help with the touch on Rich Money's point that he made earlier? What's your feedback on that, you know, as far as having, you know, friends and having family and treating your friends like your family? And the example that I had given him was if what happens if one of your friends does something wrong? And he said it depends on, you know, what they do. So I said, you know, pretty much something unpleasing to you. You know, something unpleasing to you, whether it hurt your feelings or whether it's, you know, just make you upset. Would you guys be quick to just say, okay, I don't want to deal with you anymore? Or would you guys try and, like, sever whatever relationship that there might be?
I would say, I'm going to say me. It would be the severity of it. You know, we all going to, I mean, even family members would hurt our feelings to a certain extent. You know, because I have a brother that, I don't even want him talking to me if I've done something wrong, because it's just like his words are like a knife. But it depends on the severity of the situation, you know, and to if they personally coming at me to harm me in harm's way, then I would have to either go to them and talk. But I think that it would take me a little bit further away from that person. You know, now, if you did something detrimental to me, then I'm like Rich. I would have to leave it alone. You know, if you caused harm to me and my family, then it's time to go.
I agree with that.
I think that's where, like, I'm learning to elevate a little bit more. Because elevate and get to the point where I don't just want to, you know, curse you out and stop speaking to you. You know, I'm trying to, you know, be more compassionate to what, you know, everyone, how they're feeling and what's going on and stuff like that. But I'm going to say, I don't know how long it took you guys to get there, but me personally, it's taken me some time, a little longer than I expected. You know, it is.
It's different for everyone. I mean,
but
seriously.
Because, you know, I'm one where, you know, many, many years ago, I would be the one that would just pretty much just curse you out, leave you alone, not talk to you, you know, and just leave it at that. Because my thing is, if you're not beneficial to my family, if you're not beneficial to me, you know, if we can't encourage and uplift one another, then it's like, what's the point of us even trying to hold on to anything? you know. So that's where I say I'm trying to just elevate and get to another level where, you know, I am more, you know, compassionate to how everyone's feeling and what they're going through and stuff like that. But my thing is, I guess I get to the point where I'm like, all right, if you're over the age of 21, then granted, you know better. You know, and my patient level, I think, is going as I get older. Even though I'm 35, I'm just saying, I think my patient level is starting to get a little short, if that makes sense.
I know with myself.
You got to deal with the
with my,
especially if you got a big family. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But my
yeah.
family is very, very big. You understand?
Yeah.
We have a very big family. And each family reunion that was thrown, different parts of family came. So now my goal is to get everybody to come at one
yeah.
time. You understand?
Right.
But
well,
some people don't really know what it means, you know, the word family means. You understand? Because you do have... Go ahead, somebody's going to say something?
Do you think, like, if... How can I word this? Like, just say, for instance, if you're an only kid, right? And maybe your mother was an only kid. Do you think that would have an interference with not having, like, the big family like some other people?
Well, I've often thought of that. Me, I'll say, like, from me being a part of Rich's family and seeing...
Uh-huh.
The big family, because I've never seen a family this big before. Like, I thought, you know, my family, I thought we was doing something, you know, when I went to my first family reunion. I did. And
right.
A bunch of people came from all over, you know, and then, like, I know Rachel's family, where Rachel has a big family. But when I saw Rich's family and I seen how many people it actually was, and that wasn't even half, I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is a
wow.
You know, family. So me seeing that, it made me think of the fact that my family, for one, isn't as close as Rich's family is. Like,
right.
they're close, they communicate, you know, and stuff like that. Where, like, perfect example, I have my brother where he's, you know, a couple years older than me, and I don't even speak to him because I felt, you know, I feel some kind of way over something that took place. But I forgive him, I just don't speak to him. You know, I had to forgive him so this way it wouldn't block my blessings, but I still don't speak to him because I feel like you're not beneficial to me. You know, I'm not beneficial to you. You can't encourage me, I can't encourage you. When we come together, it's toxic. And being like at Rich's family reunion and seeing how everybody came together, you couldn't even tell that anybody was toxic. If it was someone in there, like let's just say they had a pop, you couldn't even tell. We're like, my family, if we get together, oh, you're going to feel the tension.
Wow.
You're going to feel it because that fire is going to burn so hot, you don't know who the fire is going to hit. That's how bad it is.
Do you think that you and him would be able to rekindle this?
No.
Brother and sister love?
No. Like I said,
really?
When I see him, I speak. When I see him, I speak. That's the point I make. See, when I see him, I speak, you know, but when it comes down to, like, when you lose, I believe in my heart that because of the way, like, I was brought up, it was me, my sister, my brother, and my mom and her husband at the time, they adopted three children, okay?
Okay.
And the three children that they adopted, I don't even speak to. I can't remember the last time.
Wow.
I saw, you know, so when it comes down to seeing, like, my sister, who me and my sister are pretty close, me and my brother was, you couldn't tell us nothing. Like,
right.
We were out together, you know, you name it, we did it. But then circumstances took place, and when the circumstances took place, it left me feeling some kind of way. You know, if I'm feeling some kind of way and I tell you I feel some kind of way and you can't comfort me, then my thing is that I'm going to have to leave you on a back burner because I'm not going to have my feelings hurt and I'm not going to have you have me act out of character, you know, because when I want people to remember that the transformation that I'm making is the transformation where, you know, when you're young, you're fighting, you get suspended, you know, mom getting called, cops coming out. I went from a transformation of all of that to a transformation of a woman with children. So, therefore, you learn how to deal with things different. So, that's why I look at Rich's family, and I'm like, wow, and seeing how everybody comes together, and they come together, they celebrate, they have a good time. We don't have that. And I know that with certain people in my family, honestly, I don't know that we will have that. I know me and my mom and my sister will have that, you know,
right.
And my children and my sister's children, you know, I know we'll have it. But when it comes down to certain people, I know we won't have it because I can't be phony. I haven't got to that point where I can elevate and move people out that's in front of my face.
So are these blood or are these the adopted ones that you don't deal with?
You know, I think that in areas of life, I think that my big thing, and I could say my biggest flaw is when someone does me wrong, I have a problem communicating with the master, you know. That would be my biggest flaw, is that I can forgive you because I don't want you to block my movement in any kind of way, but I feel like I don't have to tolerate you, you know. But that would be a flaw in a certain extent, because when you have family and you speak about family, like the way, like the family reunion and how Rachel is for her sisters, you know, when you talk about family, I think it's nothing better than having, you know, an older brother or a younger sister or older sister. I think that feeling is good. And all of my life, I had it. But then when everybody went and down different roads, you know, in their life, I think that the road that some people might go on is the road that I'm not going on, you know.
Right,
and
right.
To me, I feel like once you burn me, like you say, if there's a fire and I get burned, you know, after I get burnt, I have a hard time coming back from that. And that would be my
fault. I must say, as close as me and my sisters are and always have been, I did have a falling out with one of my sisters, but at the time her daughters were teenagers, and they were just some little ratchet things at that time. So she was taking up for her daughters, and I was not for the way that her daughters were growing up at that time. I'm grateful that they have matured now. But we had a major falling out. But one thing my mother always said to us, even to this very day, y'all are going to always be there for each other. I don't care what's going on. I did not raise y'all like that. I don't care. Do something. Be there for each other. Y'all start talking right now. I might not be there. You know, she's in North Carolina, like I said. She only comes down maybe twice a year. But she, you know, she'll call us up with the quickness and get us all on the phone. This is not going on. I taught y'all better. Get it together. And right there with that snap of that finger, we get it back together.
Right,
so, you know,
right.
Every once in a while there is a little falling out or someone calls her and say that they need something, but they're afraid to tell, you know, we're afraid to tell each other, you know, maybe out of pride. And my mother calls and say, your sister needs something. Y'all better get it together. All
right,
Mom, and we keep it together. It's such a beautiful,
that is so wonderful.
Beautiful thing.
But
wonderful.
You know what?
Yeah. My mom was sick last year. When she got extremely sick, I think in her heart and her mind, she just knew that was going to bring, like, me and my brother together. Because me and my brother, when I tell you we were close, we were extremely close.
Yes, we were very close. You couldn't even break that bond.
Can I say something?
What's that, Rich?
You said you and your brother is close and it was a falling out. Let me explain something to you, right? It depends on how you take it. My brother, you know my brother. I'm pretty sure my mother told you the story where my brother threw a knife in my arm and it was an inch from my artery.
Oh, yeah.
So it's about how y'all feel about it. You know, I know he didn't mean to do it because he was hurting afterwards and they told him. You know, sometimes you get anger, like my aunt sliced up my uncle for a boyfriend. You know, see, my family is big. They're crazy. You know, one thing about my family is they're crazy.
He said
they're
real.
They,
like, they're crazy.
They really are. They're crazy. Like, for instance, my cousin Peter Walsh. Neither one of them knew each other. And they was going to fight each other to the first family reunion, and they found out they're cousins.
Wow.
So my family is crazy. But one thing I will say is, when it's time for a situation and one of them get involved, everybody comes together.
But see, that's what I think maybe I need therapy. I don't know.
You probably upset the fact of what your brother did or whatever the case is. But it's some situations where you have to let go. Because I believe in my situation, Well, my brother, I love my brother to death, even though he did that. And all I did was I told my mother, I said, look what he did. And the knife was sticking out of my arm.
Whoa.
You understand? But, you know, I did forgive him for it. You understand?
Yeah.
Which that's what he's supposed to do. But God forbid, if I would have died, that would have haunted him for
right.
the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Right. But see, I would be the first person, you know, to admit that, you know, yes, back in the day, I'll say, if something were to happen, yes, I would be there. Like, God forbid, if there was an emergency, yes, I would go, you know. But to me, I just think that in my heart, there's so many other things and there's so many different mistakes that were made and continuously still made. That's why I
Some
have
people
a problem.
Just-
You know,
Some people just don't mature, and they don't know how to respect anybody. They, you know, and you can see sometimes in that person growing up. I know Lavina's brother, so I've seen the little red flags growing up. As much as I love him to death, I love him to death too, but I've seen those little red flags growing up. Sometimes a person just does not mature in the way that they should, and they just don't have that level of respect, not even for themselves.
That's true.
As wonderful of a person as so many other people may see that they are, you know, there are some people that, you know, a small population of us that do see that that little negative side that person has, that they
right.
can trick everybody else, you know? Some
right.
people just don't mature. They don't know it. They don't grow that part of them that they need to have to respect people the way that they need to.
How do they get along with the rest of the family?
But see, I think that when you have children, and you're trying to, like, raise your children in the structure, and I don't know if you guys have heard me say it, but I think that the structure is very important in the household. And
it is.
Me, myself, being a young mother, you know, at the age of 15, being a mother, and then my oldest daughter will be 20, you know, in November. Destiny's 9, like the way I raised them, and my niece is already 21. So you're looking at I raised them, and I say I, you know, because there was no man in the picture.
Right.
It was all girls in the house for many, many, many years. It was all girls. So as we're looking outside at the world, and we're seeing how everyone else is moving along with their lives, and this is how we're living our life, I think that's what made me feel like the family structure is so very important, and how you have to make sure that you prepare yourself. Because what I told my kids is, the way our family is and the way we were back then, I don't want my family to be like that.
Right.
I don't want the generations that I'm bringing up, I don't want them to be like that. I want them to be
because it could affect them, you know.
And it would. Don't be jealous of one another. Be able to communicate with each other. Have each other's back. Get together once in a while. Same way how you get together with your friends. Get together with your, you know, with your sisters and stuff like that. So that means a lot to me. And when it comes down to dealing with him, I'm just not, I don't know, I just feel like too many mistakes are made, and he's older than me. So because he's older than me, I feel like we came from the same mother but different father. We were raised in the same house for a certain extent, you know. So when it comes down to raising our children, I expect more from people than they expect for themselves, and that's the problem that I have.
So
you know?
Does he get along with the other family members? Your other family members or no?
It depends. It depends.
Mm-hmm.
It depends if it's beneficial. That's the thing. If it's something that's beneficial.
Right.
Oh no! Wow.
If it's not beneficial,
I got a brother similar to that. You know, he
it's
wants you to give to him. You know, and we will. You know, but we also know that he's like the world owe him something, and he can do no wrong. We have one of those.
Because
I think everybody has one in the family.
He says, what's up, young fella?
What are you saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut nobody off. Oh,
you did.
What's up, brother?
He did.
Because you know what? I'm sorry. Because you know what? I got to bring this up. I met Lavina's brother. And I thought, you know, I think he's a cool dude and everything, but something turned, and it takes a lot for me to turn to somebody. So then when he started saying to me, hey, how you doing? When he see me, what's going on, young fella? I'm like, young fella? I said, I'm older than your brother. I mean, I take it as a compliment. Thank you.
You understand?
Rich isn't mentioning, I'm going to tell you. Rich, he probably wasn't going to mention it, okay? Now, I had told Rich, you know, like, this, you know, pieces of what had been going on, like, with my brother and stuff like that. So, automatically, you know, he was like, oh, you know, we'll work it out, talk to him, this, that, and the other, right? So, we go to, we went out to eat for my mom's birthday. Rich could tell you, the friction was so strong up in there, that tension was unbelievable, okay? Now, of course, you try and work past it, because, you know, we come, my mom is just like Rachel's mom is. They were best friends,
They were best friends, yep.
Yeah, they raised us the exact same way. They were best friends. So, only difference is Rachel's sisters, they did different things, you know. We're like, and they were able to come together and keep that close-knit family, where, like, even certain things my sister did, I was able to forgive her for it and leave it at that, but she didn't make the same mistakes continuously. You know, where, like, my brother is different, where he has the same red flags that's been going up since we were years ago. So that was one situation where Rich was able to feel the tension, okay? Then we go, then Rich throws me a surprise birthday party, right? And...
Somehow, Rich
is able to speak. Yeah, see, because it'll show y'all. See, I could be emotional at times, you know, and for the most part, I'm really rough around the edges. And Rich knew that my brother was coming to this surprise birthday party.
He knew he was coming.
And as soon as I got there and everything, and it was a surprise, I cried all emotional and everything. And, you know, automatically when he told me my brother was coming, I said, no, he's not.
Oh, wow.
Rich knew he was coming. But see, what people don't realize is I know my brother. I think I know him better than he knows himself. And if it's something that's not beneficial to him, he's not coming. Us not really speaking like that, even though I raised his daughter for the last past 6 years, but we're not going to go into that because that's a whole other family story, okay? But the moral of the story is Rich got to see a little bit about what I was saying. So this is the type of stuff that happens, you know, and if it's not beneficial, then guess what? He don't want nothing to do with it. That's just how it is.
Now, if
he would have said it's some money to be made or some fine half-naked chicks up in there, he would have been right there.
Yep.
He would have been right there.
Wow.
But the situation is the way that it was. That's why my topic was when I went to the family reunion and I saw how close Rich's family was. And believe me, I'm so happy that we are a part of his family, you know.
Right.
The welcome was completely there. You know, from day one, the welcome was there. Everyone just accepted me for who I am. And a lot of them, I think, are still trying to figure me out, you know, because I'm a little laid back, I'm a little quiet. They haven't seen that rowdy side, you know. So I think that's, you know, what makes them love me even more. But the same way he said is his family is crazy. We all got a little bit of craziness inside of us, you know.
Every family got, you know, like I said, every family got that craziness, like, you know, you explained about your brother.
I don't know no family that stabs and slices each other up. I'm sorry.
Well, but you know what? I have to tell you, and if Kathy was around right now, she'll tell you, I almost cut her thumb off because she tried to make me eat some cheese and eggs. And she told me to give her the...
Like cheese and eggs.
At that time, I did not like it. To this day, some cheese are still, like, getting it on a hamburger. I don't want no cheese on my hamburger. But, like, macaroni and cheese, I can eat that. But, yeah, I mean, I was little. My mother had passed then. But that was one of the worst butt whoopings I got when my father got home from church. It was on a Sunday, too. But, I mean, I tell you what, I bet you I never came at no more of my brothers and sisters with a weapon. The only weapon that I came at them with was my tongue. But, you know,
But they say that you have a lot of power in the tongue. So
well,
I'm
that's
a firm
true.
Believer of that.
They said that the tongue can cut you just as well.
Yeah,
you know,
I can do a serious tongue lashing. I'm just learning to tone it down. But I know God is proud of me because I've learned to, you know, not be
control it.
I've been doing really good. I have been. I haven't had an episode in a while. I mean, a real episode in a long time. So I'm doing pretty good. And thanks to Rich too, because you know he doesn't tolerate that mouth that I have. So you know, he'll look at me and he'll laugh at me like I'm funny or something. He doesn't take it serious because you know to see like this little lady, because I'm short. This little lady trying to talk. He's looking like he's okay. You know. I had to sleep, babe. You know, he's looking like that.
This is a great topic, though. I mean, you know, what does family really, truly mean, you know? Because a lot of people don't get to express that.
Right.
To say just like, you know, especially like I say with me, you know, both of my parents are deceased. And I'm the baby. It was like, well, 12 of us, but, you know, 4 died, like, birth and things like that. Then I had, like, 2 or 3, and I hate saying stepbrother, stepsister. I had brothers and sister before my father married my mother. But, you know, I'm the baby of everybody. And so sometimes, you know, it gets to the point, like, when I moved to Philadelphia, it was hard. And for the first couple of years, I was very miserable because I was so far away from them, you know, but I needed to get my child away from everything that was going on after my sister passed because it was just like she didn't have a care in the world, you know, and it was just, it was too much for me to handle, and it was either go to Atlanta or Philadelphia, you know, and
yeah.
I just wanted to get away from my family. But when I really realize it now, I needed my family more than I know.
Well, you know what? I can agree with you because when I look back on my life now,
mm-hmm.
like on Facebook, when I first got Facebook, I was able to like reconnect with so many people that, mind you, knew me from right before my dad passed away. Like they watched me grow up, and then I came down because my dad had passed, and it was really like, wow, this is her, you know, like even if I go back to Riverhead today, a lot of people look at me and been like, where have you been? Like, you're pretty much just like dropped off the face of the earth.
Right.
Because I moved away. The situation
okay.
to me was just wasn't, I mean, and Rachel, you know, like I moved away many, 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 many years ago, more than 10 years
yes.
ago.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I can tell you a lot of like the bitter feeling or the ill will that I might have is because I relocated to another town and didn't have my family at all.
Exactly,
so
exactly.
I missed out on all those years. So now that I'm older and I have children, it's like, all right, don't miss out on those. I don't want you to go through what I went through because you regret it.
You know,
me and my mom now, we're extremely close. You know, I get on her nerves sometimes. She get on my nerves sometimes, but I wouldn't trade them for the world.
Exactly.
You know, my sister is nerve-wracking, but I love her dearly, you know. But me, I can tell you, and I'm sure Rachel will agree, me and Rachel were always extremely close, and my sister
That's
and
good.
Her sister Selena were always extremely close.
Yeah.
So Rachel was more like a sister to me, and Selena and my sister Andrea were always like, those were like two peas in a pod, you know.
Right.
They were always like that, and it's really ironic now that like we were able to all reconnect and we're all communicating and stuff like that because I feel like that's a piece of my family that
right.
I miss. You know, we didn't communicate for so many years. You know,
yeah.
like. Yep. When Rachel, you threw back, you put up that Throwback Thursday picture. I remember
yes.
that day. You know,
yes.
I remember. I remember.
But
I mean,
you know,
so
at that time I also
felt so horrible because I wanted you in my wedding, but I did not know how to get in contact with you. Because you had left us for a little while, you had gone so far away and was doing your own thing. So there was a piece of
wow.
me that was
missing in my wedding. And to this very day, you know, I look back at my pictures and I'm like, wow, Lavina should have been my, you know, my maid of honor, you know, but she had started her life, bettering her life then. So I understand
right.
that, but she was right there when I was walking down that aisle and crying and stuff. I think she was right
yes,
there. My face lit up. Y'all hear me? My face lit up when I saw her.
But
I love you, Lavina.
It's very hard, though, you know, like, it was hard for me to make that big move, you know, because
uh-huh.
when I was in North Carolina, that was only like 3 hours, you know. And then
mm-hmm.
my two brothers of mine, both of them ended up living with me for maybe like a year, and then they got their own places, you know. And then I went back to West Virginia to take care of my sister. And then after she passed, you know, instead of me just going migrating back to North Carolina, I moved to Philadelphia. I knew one person, and it was just so hard. I mean, you know, I used to just sit up and cry for no reason. Well, it was for a reason. I was missing what was, you know, the love that was there for me. But, you
yeah.
know, and they would always say, well, nobody told you to move to the other side of the moon, you know? It's been hard. And the more I think about it, you know, the more, that's just like me moving from Philly to New Jersey, away from Kiera. You know, now
uh-huh.
she's wanting me to come back, you know, but I was wanting to move back down south. But then when I look at it, my daughter comes before, you know, yes, those are my brothers and sisters, but I've got to be there for my child and my grandson, too. You know,
right. uh-huh.
my son and his family is okay. But when it comes to stability, being stable, being in that spot, that girl, I feel like the girl needs you more, and I need to be there for them. If it's nothing but for a year or two, for her to be able to get on her feet and do what she needs to do when it comes to my grandson.
Right.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the little move to back to North Carolina has just like, it's not even a fault right now. My thing is, I got
mm-hmm.
to do for my daughter and my grandbaby.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think that the topic was truly wonderful.
Yes.
I must say, it was amazing. I think that you know
emotional.
Yeah, I think everyone needs it. You know, in their life, everyone needs
yeah.
their family in their life. And you know, I'm gonna say, you know, with me leaving my family when I was very young. You know, I'm
yeah.
going to say that if you could always rekindle a relationship that you have, you know, with your family.
Do so.
Always, always do it, you know.
Yeah.
And,
uh-huh.
I know it, and I'm going to say it's easier said than done because I'm not ready to do that with my brother. But
yeah.
I can tell somebody else to go ahead and do it, you know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But if, to me, it's like you have to immediately be there to really know exactly what I'm talking about. Rachel, I'm sure you know, you understand where I am mentally.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So
yep.
with that being said, I just want to thank everyone for my therapy, you know. I want
thank you, y'all, for therapy, period.
No, we had
us a big old therapy.
Look, we were ending
it.
Oh,
I got to thank y'all because it's a relaxing hour for me. So I really got to thank all y'all callers that called in because
oh,
I was real relaxed. The lines is flooded and I'm relaxed now.
Great.
Lavina,
yeah.
I want to thank
you. And now he's back.
Yes. I told y'all I was going to relax for the hour.
You know
that's
what?
Why I put you on.
This sounds like something needs to be done more often, just,
yes.
just crying out. I mean, you know, some people needed this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because,
I thank you. You know, I thank you, Rich, and there's no spiritual Sunday, so I needed some type
okay.
of cleansing today, you know,
okay.
to
okay.
help get me through the week.
That's
tomorrow.
Right. Y'all know it's
and
no spiritual Sunday.
Okay.
So thank you.
Uh-huh.
No spiritual Sunday, and there's no Crossroads Temple because we got the
okay.
event going on with Coco Chanel, Video City, Rough Riders.
Wow.
And, you know.
Okay.
Going on.
Okay.
All
so
right.
everything kicked back up Monday.
3302.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure, be on Monday.
Okay.
But I want to thank y'all. Y'all can hold the line because next we have up and coming artist B-O-M-B in the building, and his material was hitting the nation hard. And we're going to find out what's his inspiration and goals as an up-and-coming artist.
All right.
Right? Y'all feel free to stay on the line and tune in to Geeks from College Radio. We will be right back. So y'all don't have to relax. My thumb getting tired. We'll be right back.
It's fun, baby.
For sure.
Step up in the spot, plug the fence up, I make it hot, what you got? Oh yeah, the same old guns, money, and all that. You step your game up and all that. In fact, what you call that? What do you think that's where you ball at? You say you shop, so where them all at? Yeah, all that. Heard you was a runaround. You know, when niggas give orders and make you run around. Cause you was a small dog, lost in the town, it's on now. Cause you just showed your car to start, but life is hard. And you know what it's like when you roaming at night. And you see something that you like, and you thinking that's nice. So you can do the grind, but you ain't trying to pay that price. You can do the time, but it ain't that light. The system ain't that right, but you betray that life. Imagine opened up a book, grabbed a pen and made that light. How does one define you? Who the fuck's inside you? Think you're the one, I guess I must remind you. I'll explain exactly what it is that I do. I'm the one that surprised you, with lyrics that surprise you. Here's what I would do, if I was you. I would do survival tools and make survival moves. It's obvious, it's absolute. Try to top the man that's unstoppable. You make it happen, enough of trouble, enough of trouble.
I'm gonna try to pay your debt on. I'm looking for some money, I can get my hands on. Fucking with a chick that can keep her pants on. Make it hot.
Cops. Before they come, believe I'm taking all you got. Think you're wicked, no you're not. Can you kick it, no you can't. When no bells on your pants, fucking up your stance. Don't go fucking up your pants for the angels in the grants. Benji's in the fence, feed the niggas in your camp. Chickens just wanna live, for the money we fam. Doing all that you can, proving all that we can. Don't let me ruin your plans. But if you and your man was cool as a sand, then I was sitting too to you win. Snapbacks and tattoo, that's what you do to your skin. Butterflies on your face, but that's the mood you was in. What you crying about now, man? Losing again, you talking foul out the mouth till I'm rosy your chin. New York, we finna do it again and again. Go ahead and put the word out, tell the world it's him again.
You in the trap, it's in your chin on. I'm looking for some money, I can get my hands on. Fucking with a chick that can keep her pants on. Make it hot, just make it hot. You in the trap, it's in your chin on. I'm looking for some money, I can get my hands on. Fucking with a chick that can keep her pants on. Make it hot.
Like when I was younger, it stood for bundles on my block. I'm sure you could understand what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but as I got older and into the rhyming, it started standing for Baltimore's on my back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Basically, my name is letting everybody know I carry the city.
long. Now, how old was you when you first started MCing?
I was like somewhere around 9 and 10. You know, I was whack, but I tried. I did my thing.
Well, that's the first time I heard that one. I ain't hear nobody say that. I was whack back then. Yeah,
yeah,
that's the first time
I was whack. Yeah. Funny thing is, though, you couldn't tell me that back then. I thought I was the nicest on the planet, but as I got older and I go back and listen to things, I'm like, damn, dude was whack.
But you gotta think about it. How it was back then wasn't how it was now. So you can't really say you was whack, because the metaphor back then wasn't the same way it was now.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, cause
that's very true. So I probably fit it in, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Because I looked at some throwback pics with some clothes on, and I said, wow. I said,
yeah.
No. And we thought we was fresh to death. I said, yo.
Right.
Sneaking
right. I don't even
like,
show them pictures,
man.
I let one of them pictures slip, man. I got cracked on for months.
Now, who would you say some of your big influences that got you into MCing?
Oh, that's easy, man. My big influences in this order was Ice Cube, Biggie Smalls, and Tupac.
Mm.
And I ain't gonna lie though, right now in the last 6-7 years, I'm being very influenced by Jay and Eminem.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but growing up, it was Cube, Biggie, and Pop.
Wow. Those are the hottest people out, yo. Cube was doing his thing back then, you know.
Yeah,
Pop
yeah,
was
Cube
always
was killing.
Biggie was always on the map. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
Cube was killing them back then. You know,
he was killing, and then
it's like whatever he... Go ahead.
Yeah, Cube was probably the first. I think Cube might have been the first West Coast rapper accepted on the East Coast with nothing but love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody else, some people might like them, some people didn't, but Cube had like an all around, like everybody just loved Cube, you know?
Yeah, yo. It was crazy about Cube.
Yeah,
and you know what?
Cube was doing it. And then, you know, that
that's
whole rebellious thing helps too, you know?
Exactly. Now, you signed a deal with an independent record label, right?
Yeah.
So finally decided to start your own. Tell us about that.
About the label. Well, actually, I signed two independent labels in my time. Do you want to hear about both or just the latest one?
Go ahead, break them down. Yeah. All right,
I was signed to Fortress Entertainment. They was being distributed by Nervous Records. I don't know if everybody's still familiar with Nervous Records. It's been years since they did their thing on the hip hop scene. But that deal was okay. It put me out to a lot of people I couldn't reach, you know. But the deal fell through because I had a 10,000 single. If I sell 10,000 singles, they would, you know, throw me an album deal in, and I fell short. I did something like 8,300, and back then I was young. I didn't know I could have went and bought the other 1,700 myself and just made it happen. You know what I mean? But you know, it didn't happen. It fell through. You know, it fell through. Then I basically just went back to the streets and, you know, rhyming on little open mics, and I ended up signing a completely independent deal with a company in Baltimore, which is where I'm from, called Charm City Records. And you know, Charm City Records was big in Baltimore. Like we might have been maybe one of the first 5 independent rap labels in Baltimore City. You know what I mean? And we were big down here, and things fell through with them because some people just don't know how to leave the streets alone when things get sweet, you know what I mean? So streets catch up with you, and, you know, everything fell apart, you know? You know, the CEO, he my man, I ain't gonna put no names out there, but, you know, some people just can't leave the streets alone, yo, and it's like... Like the domino effect killed everybody that was under him, you know.
Mm-hmm. I definitely feel you on that one.
Then I started doing my own.
You start, okay, now that's all I want to get into, your own thing now. Tell us about that. How did you start getting into your own thing? What made you decide, you know, from that situation to get into your own thing instead of just trying another label?
Because it seemed like after Charm City Records, everybody that was interested in me, that anybody that showed, I had a lot of people show interest in me, but it was like when I got into the studio or when I got into their office, they always wanted me to sound like whoever was hot at the time. You know what I mean? Like, yo, you need to do, like I just had a dude, you know, y'all familiar with Po' Boy?
Po' Boy?
Y'all familiar with Po' Boy Entertainment down in Miami?
Hmm. Okay.
You know, they're an independent label. They got the chick Brianna. Actually, that's who Flo Rida came through. That's who a couple people came through before they blew up. You know, they good people. Don't get me wrong. Everybody that has signed to that label is now doing major things. You know, well, everybody that they push is now doing major things. Mm-hmm. You know, and dudes start talking to me. This was like maybe 6 days ago, and I love these dudes. They start telling me, yeah, you know, you need to do something more like Hit Boy. And, you know, I'm like, why the hell do I gotta sound like another dude? Like, come on. I thought this was about originality, you know what I mean? Like, y'all driving me crazy right now. But the funny thing is, this was like the seventh label that did that to me, you know what I mean? I've had Warner Brothers ask me to sound like Nas, you know what I mean? Like, come on, I walk away from that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they want you to be somebody else.
I could have easily took the money and just said, all right, whatever. But that's not what I'm about. Like, I'm here to make a mark. Like, my thing is, like, I'm more about making history than making money. If I make history, the money's going to come. So I'm not even worried about that. I'm here to make history. I'm here to put myself out there as a brand and have people remember me 30 years after I'm dead. That's my challenge. That's what I'm trying to do with myself.
Okay, now I know MIB Entertainment. Since you released two mixtape CDs, right? One EP included a hit single Lean, which wrote on a Billboard chart for 5 weeks, peaking at number 9. Tell us about that.
Alright, Lean was a single I dropped through, I was being distributed by a company called Face to Face. They're from Atlanta. It's a group of women that actually, you know, they really know what they're doing on how to market people and get your name out there. So they put me out. Mm-hmm. They basically put me out in my market. Everything I did was in the DMV area. It was Baltimore, D.C., Virginia. And I was selling CDs out of the FYE chain. And I sold enough CDs. It was a single, by the way. I sold enough singles where I landed on three different charts on the Billboard charts. But the main chart that I landed on was the Hot Hip Hop and R&B Sales. And on that chart, I peaked at number 9. I came in at number 11. I rode like number 10 for like 3 weeks straight. And then I've moved up to number 9. And then after that, I started dropping off a little bit, you know, step by step, you know, number by number. I was dropping off till I was no longer on there. But yeah, that single, I did a lot of, you know, I think I was 17,000 sold on a single. Locally.
Oh, wow.
Just Baltimore, D.C., and Virginia. You know, sound scan sales, you know what I mean? Which is very important.
Oh, okay. Now, let me ask you, what's the difference between that CD and the CD that you have out now?
The CD that I have out now, I would say it's more of a thoughtful CD. It was like the EP I put out, it was very tight. It's one of my favorite things that I have ever done. But it was more riding the line of what was going on at the time and trying to keep me in the picture. You know what I mean? Whereas though this CD, I'm just giving you me. You can like it or hate it. You can love it or hate it. This is how it is. You know what I mean? And I'm tired of trying to straddle the fence of trying to fit in. And I don't want to fit in with nobody. I'm making my own mark, my own avenues, my own niche. And whoever wants to ride with me, ride with me. Whoever don't, there's a million other rappers you can ride with. That's how I feel about it right now. You know what I mean? So that's really the difference in the CD. The music is still, you know, hot street music. I got some, you know, commercial appeal music to it. I got some radio songs. I can, you know, basically fill a CD up with everything that needs to be filled up. It needs to be filled up with. You know, it's definitely
okay,
a hot
CD. Yeah, I heard some joints, and I want to get into your first joint.
Okay.
I Love Myself. Tell me about that.
Okay. I Love Myself is a song I wrote. I wrote it after hearing some kids. I was outside on the block, and I was hearing some kids talk about how they, you know, they just didn't like their stuff. Like, they didn't even like their way, their hair. They didn't like their skin. I heard a girl ask another girl, is there something she could do to lighten her skin up? And, you know, I'm trying to teach her. I'm like, man, look, if you don't love yourself, there's nothing no one can do to help you ever in life. I don't care what it is you're doing. You know what I mean? So, you know, that song, the title of the song came about from that. And, you know, I'm basically just talking about the things I've done, and I know some things are wrong, but, you know, when it all boils down, I love myself. And I can't love you till I love myself, and I'm here.
Exactly. So we're going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas, here's a banger by B-O-M-B. I Love Myself. Yeah. Remember where you heard it. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Shit. That boy Bump. I mean, what else is there to say, homie? I love life, man. I love myself. Wake up in the morning, hit the tub yawning, brushing on my teeth, thanking God and Jesus for another day of being me and breathing. Also to my mom and pop, thank you for conceiving. You gotta believe me, it's been a ball. Even with all the troubles and struggles that made me fall. Even sure, I ain't see the world, but I done took a trip or two. I ain't hit every girl, but I done did a few. You know I'm a five-star model type, in the kitchen cooking a pot of rice for the fit. Yeah, that girl dared to shish. That's my life, I wake up to it. I make up music for the love of it, and others love it, so I'm caked up too.
I am so in love. Yes, I am in love. I am so in love with life. Damn, I love myself. Yeah, I am so in love. Yes, I am in love. I am so in love with life. Damn, I love myself.
Step into the closet, pick a fresh Gucci to the drugs, y'all. Oh, check the way my side fits. It's not about the clothes, no. It's about the way I rock it. It looks so good, and I ain't on no odds.
Pop a liquid, a quarter of good. Pockets on thick, all in the hood.
In the mix, all the love I get, I am the show. So thankful for it, I just can't ignore it. I got to shout it to the world, baby. Look at me, buddy. Get your ass kicked off over the place trying to match the ball. Priorities are straight so I can get ahead in life. There's so many places to go, people to see. All I can say is my team don't play, baby. Let's ride.
I am so in love. Yes, I am.
Like the Jackson boys, Curtis, Michael, Andrew. Stay on point, not paranoid. Word is Michael, smash dude. B-O-M-B, and I love me, shorty. I am that dude. Look at my walk, hear me talk. Gangsta boy, that's the clause. I did my thing for real. Hell of charges, ain't never squeal. Rap on the streets is that boy real. Trust me, homie, that boy there. So I walk with my head held up high, cause I love my life.
I am so
out.
Now, I'm feeling that's definitely a club banger right there. Now, you said you heard a kid talking about how they're not crazy about themselves, and that's what actually made you do it?
Yeah, yeah, that's what made me come up with the idea. Like, man, shoot, I don't know what they're talking about. Because when I was young, I loved myself. I ain't never want to change my skin complexion. Like, I never heard of stuff like that. You know me growing up. None of my friends, I never heard nothing like that before.
Exactly.
So I found that weird, so.
Yeah, these kids nowadays, they're going through a whole thing and they don't even know about it. But my line is flooded. If you want to speak to BOMB and you're already on the line, all you got to do is press 1 to go on the air, or you can continue to stay on the line and hear the show. If you're on your PC, the number to call, 646-238-38, and press 1 to go on the air and speak to my man, BOMB. Hold on, Bon, we have a caller for you. Let's bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. How you guys doing?
All right. How you feeling?
I'm good, thanks. First off, I want to comment on that song as well. It was a banger. Fire, as you know, Rich Money said. And like y'all guys were saying, like kids nowadays, you know, where is all this coming from for them to even want to be someone that they're not? You know, the changing of the skin and, you know, we just have so many of our younger people that's leaving us today because they're doing it to each other.
Yep. I feel
you know, but that was a great song for you to come up with. And my question to you is, where do you think you'll be 3 years from now?
3 years from now, 3 years from now, I should be running a label and putting out a few artists that I have under my belt right now. I should be taking money to Bank Entertainment National.
Okay. Does your music, I'm sure that you're making this a career. Does it affect your family, you know, like your significant other? Does it, like, you having to travel and be gone or whatever, does it interfere with your family?
It used to, but everybody's starting to understand what's going on now because now there's actually some money coming in from me traveling. At first, it was all promotional, so it was like, man, you know, like, what are you doing?
Right.
But now that I can pay the bills and all that, you know, they like, oh, okay, so he really is doing what he say he's doing, and you know, all right, let him be.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, that makes sense, though. But keep up the good work, and like I said, that's definitely, I'd definitely be a fan of yours listening to that first one.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, all right. You know, that's a good point, but you know, I never understood that about family. You know, they got to see it to believe it. You understand? Have courage in what I do, you know, and have faith in what I do. You know, I'm striving for all of us. You understand what I mean?
Right.
You can't get anybody
some
that
people
now.
You
what? Go ahead.
Some people you have to show it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that could depend on a lot of situations too, because you never know what that person may have went through before. You know, saying that I'm going to a job, but you know, nothing is never coming in, or it's nothing there to, you know, accommodate. You've been there. You're not bringing anything to the table, so where are you being so long?
Right.
So that could go in a lot of situations.
That's exactly what I used to do.
My life. Why are you worrying about my life right now? I'm doing this for us. You know, just work with me. You know I'm doing it for us. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna keep it 100. I've lost two relationships over this. You know what I mean? I've had two people that just couldn't understand what was going on. They couldn't deal with it. They didn't know nothing about grinding and going to from Baltimore to Texas to do a show for absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't understand stuff like that.
But
so
that was your
like,
way to start your grind, though, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just like you got to crawl before you walk.
Right. Right, but some people don't understand. If you know, if you don't know the business, they see these people pop up on video on BET, and they think it happens overnight. They don't really
right.
know what these people went through. So you know,
right.
they are looking at you like, man, what's taking you so long? You know, Diddy did it. You know,
exactly. But you know, the insecurity that hurts too. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
If they don't have that trust and faith in you that you're gonna make it work, then of course you would end up losing them.
Right.
Because where they're thinking that you out here doing X, Y, Z, when you're actually really out here doing, you know, what you do, then they're doing their thing. So,
right.
you know, it's just a big problem that comes into one.
Yep.
So, but like
yes,
I said, keep up the good work.
Thank you. I definitely will. I appreciate it. I definitely hope, I guess at the end of the show, they'll let me give out my pages and stuff.
Oh, of
and,
course.
You know, hopefully
okay.
you keep in contact with me.
I'm going to be on the show listening, so I'll definitely get it.
All right.
If you
want to
give it out now, B.O.B., give it, B.O.M.B., give it out now. We still have to give it out at the end of the show.
Oh, okay, cool. That's what it is. I got a Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and they all are That Boy Bomb, DatBoyBomb.
Say that again.
All my, even my YouTube, all of my social networks are That Boy Bomb. D as in David, A, T as in Tom, B as in Bobby, O, Y, and Bomb.
Okay. All right.
All right, so hit
me
up.
I'll make sure
contact.
I check you out.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you, what's your inspiration and goal as an up-and-coming artist?
Like I said, to make history. You know what I mean? That's my goal. And my inspiration is to never have to work a day in my life. That's my inspiration. That inspires me to keep doing my music and pushing it as hard as I possibly can, because I used to be tile picker in a warehouse, and I threw my back out a couple times, and I know working is not what I want to do for a living. You know, if I have to, I will, but until I have to, I'm inspired to do music so that I don't have to work. I'm just being real, you know what I mean? Like, that's what inspires me at this day and time.
I definitely feel you. Now, if you could perform with anybody that's out right now, who would it be and why? Any artist that's out right now?
Any artist that's out right now?
Any artist.
Jay-Z. Reason being, he would open me up to so many millions of people. just performing with him will open the door up to so many millions of possible. I don't like calling them fans. I call them the bomb squad. That's what I call the people that, you know, deal with me and like my music and support me. And he would introduce me to so many possible Bomb Squad members. And that's who I want to perform with.
Okay. Now, you also say, and I quote, "Bomb is a complete package. His words, play, and many flows are genius. His persona swag is as street as they come."
That is the the persona is as street as they come part is the way I come across on my songs. Like, it was things that I've been being told throughout the years when people hear my music. Like, a lot of people, they've never met me in person, they've never actually sat down and had a conversation with me, but they'll listen to my CDs and I'll get responses like, "That dude is so real. Like, I know you real. I know you did everything you say you did. I can tell because your specifics are too street." You know what I mean? And these are things people are telling me. So that's why I just laughed and I took it and I used that as part of my bio, because I heard it so many times from so many different people in so many different cities and like so many different ages. You know what I mean? And I kept hearing that, you're real. And I used to go back and like, the hell they know I'm real. All they did was hear 6 songs, you know what I mean? But then I started understanding it as I got older. It came across. It's like it just comes across in my music. And so I just keep doing it.
Now, I see you got a lot of work cut out. You got four mixtape style CDs, one full length CD, one double CD, and two DVDs. When do you have time, man?
We set up like right now. I'm actually on vacation right now. I'm down South Carolina in Myrtle Beach right now, right on the beach. But in the hotel room, we have a full setup. When I go in tonight, I'm recording two songs. You know what I mean? When I go in tomorrow night, I'm recording two songs. Yeah, that's how we get down. Wherever I go, my studio goes with me. It's simple and plain. Wherever I go, the studio goes with me.
Now, do you have any videos out?
You said what?
I know you was going to say something. I want you to finish what you were going to say. I was going to ask if you have any videos out right now. That's out.
I actually forgot what I was going to say. But videos, I have a few videos on YouTube. They've only been released to, YouTube and, a couple local video shows to show it. And, I'm working on a new video right now that we're actually getting ready to work with this company to see if we can push it to BT. And that video won't probably be done until the 31st of this month when I go back, because I already shot it. I'm just working on the editing and all that right now. And that's for a song called Can You Feel It? And we're going to be pushing that to BET and Fuse TV and a couple other places. And but on my YouTube, like I said, at That Boy Bomb, you can see interviews. You can see all my past videos. All my new videos are going to end up on there. So, just check it out. You can definitely catch my videos.
Okay, I want to get into another one of your singles. You okay. Crazy. Tell us about that.
Okay. You Crazy is about, I know everybody in the world knows somebody that they can actually call the most bluffing dude they ever met. Or the most bluffing chick they ever met. I know everybody has at least one of them. And that song is about them.
Alright. No doubt. We're going to get into that right now. Matter of fact, you introduced that next single.
Alright, that's what it is. Here we go. Live from BOMB comes You Crazy, the new single. Check it out.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
He said what he said, and she said what she said, and they say what they say is true.
Is it really?
But I know some people, them people know you, and they say what you say is bull. You say your block made 10 G's a day, and they say it was more like 2. They say you never sold dope, it was coke, and they know cause they fronted you. And they say you pumped up some packs in Odo and haven't heard from you. And they say they can't wait to catch up with you. Matter of fact, they're here by 2. Since you say you bang guns and you will handle yours, that's what I told them too. Hey, you can handle it, you the man. Ain't that what you say? At least it's what you try to tell me every day. You believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy. You believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy. You believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy. You believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy. She say what she say, and he say what he say, and they say what they say is true. But I know some people, them people know you, and they say what you say is bull. You say you're honest and that you would never cheat, and they say that's not the truth. They say they see you in more than one car with plenty different dudes. And they say that them dudes be talking about you and all of the things you do. They say you're nasty, I say she can't be, and
get paid, I'll package you. So, if you believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy. If you believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy. If you believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy. If you believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy.
Get money. That's all I do is get money.
Why you hawking it?
Oh, you a comedian. I don't need a car, nigga. I'm stacking my tape.
Oh, okay. You don't need a car.
Motherfucking night, I don't need a car. I can go get a bank.
Oh, yeah.
Motherfucking ass. I'm watched up for this difference. You niggas always want to suck
yeah.
for me. I had to have my tape.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
If you believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy. If you believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy. If you believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy. If you believe that I believe that bullshit, you crazy. You crazy. You crazy.
Right there. Appreciate that. Definitely.
Now, I also appreciate want you to know that you know we're gonna put your single on the GQ Palace Mix promotional CD and we send them out and everything. We're definitely gonna put your CD on there. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And we got the magazine. We put you in the magazine and all that too. The joint is definitely fire.
Thanks, man. Thanks. No doubt.
Now, has it ever came across the fact of you being stage fright?
Oh, yeah. Back in the day when I first started, oh, my God.
Okay, and what did you do to get past that?
It was just, I just had to do it. It was like, this is part of what I'm trying to do, and if I don't do it, I'm going to be a failure. That's how I looked at it. Like, man, I can't fail,
but that's
man.
A good
I can't
way to look
fail.
At it, though.
Yeah, that was the only thing I did. It was like, man, I used to just look at my road dogs and my team, and they was, you know, they looking at me and they like, yo, you the head, yo, like, what you gonna do? You know what I mean? I'm like, I gotta make this happen, man. I mean, I was to the point, I was so stage fright. I used to get off stage and nobody knew this. I used to go backstage and damn near pass out. Like, I mean, I was so lightheaded and dizzy and. Like, I was damn near past. I had the people used to have to bring me cold rags and put them on my face. You know, but I kept all that backstage, you know what I mean? Till I got older, till I got used to it. And I was like, man, oh, it's nothing now. You know what I mean? Now I'm good. I still get it, though. Don't get me wrong. I still get, like, little feeling in my stomach once before I go out on stage. But it's nothing like how it used to be.
Yeah. But I see you perform over 200 shows in 2 years. From Boston to Atlanta. So my thing is, what's the first thing that comes to mind before you go on that stage? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
The first, it might sound messed up, but the first thing that comes to my mind is I got to steal all these niggas' fans. Like, I gotta say, hey, my bad. I don't even know if I can say that word. My bad, yo. But,
that word, we let slide every now and then, you know.
all right, my bad. But yeah, that's the first thing come to my mind. I walk out, I'll take a peek at the crowd, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay. I got to steal at least half of these dudes, you know. I got to steal their fans, you know, because when I go do a show, I do the whole scene. I got 6-7 bad little chicks. I got maybe 3-4 dudes that's all fresh and, you know, all cut up and shaped up for the women. You know what I mean? And I have them walk around with the clipboards. They're collecting emails. They're handing out flyers. They're passing out CDs. I put on the whole show when I get out on stage. So, you know, my whole thing is I want everybody that came to that club to see whoever they saw to leave talking about me.
feel you on that. That's a good attitude to have, too. That's a good attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, as far as your productions, who does your productions, or do you do your productions yourself?
Oh, nah, I wish I could. I ain't gonna lie. I would save so much money. But I did production. My main production comes from graphic novelist. He's a cat from Brooklyn, New York. I mean, my man is he does whatever you need, he can do it. Whatever you need, he can do it. He does pop music, he does R&B, he does rap, he does south, he does trap music, he does the J. Cole type beats, whatever. This dude got it. And he also has his own distinctive sound, which is like, wow, this dude can. He can emulate whatever you want him to imitate, and he got his own sound too, if that's what you want. And also, I got a dude from Baltimore called Jay Funk. He's a beast. He's fire. You know what I mean? And then I grab beats from certain dudes like Brave Star. The You Crazy joints from a dude named Brave Star. I met him on the internet. He's a real cool dude. I got about 3 joints from him. But basically, my team is Jay Funk and Graphic Novelist. That's basically the team right there.
Now, so you have no problem with dealing with random producers and everything like that. Now,
oh, no, I love it. I love it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
now, how
I love it because...
That,
I was going to say because the different producers bring different things out of me, you know what I mean? Like, the songs are totally different for each producer, so it's like I've never reached a producer that's like, oh, this is the only guy I want to deal with, because then my sound's going to become the same to me. You know what I mean? And I don't want that. So I go fishing for producers sometimes. Then I got a couple guys, you know, they'll just send me random beats through the email, like, hey, I made this for you, or try this out. Let me know what you think. And I'll be like, yeah, this fire. I'm going to use this. You know what I mean? So I just keep it moving like that.
Now, is there anything else you decided? Because, you know, some artists, they also look into becoming an actor or doing a clothing line or, you know, presenting something else. Are you studying just sticking to the music, or are you looking to do something else as well?
Well, I'm into the music until I get my foot planted real, real good. But I really want to do the acting. Because I've done that before locally here in Baltimore. We've done a couple couple low budget joints where I'm acting in it, and I like it. I had fun, and then I also know that the checks are bigger, so I'm gonna try to move into that direction because the checks are bigger, and that's basically what's gonna take care of my family, and that keeps my family off my back. So I'm definitely try to move into acting. You know what I mean? And I heard DMX say it a long time ago. You know, one movie is like 12 albums. You know what I mean? The paycheck.
Wow.
One movie is like 12 albums.
Wow. That's crazy.
So, yeah, so I heard him say that. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, but I mean,
now,
you know, I do other things too. I do, like, right now I'm into real estate. I do whatever's gonna feed. You know what I mean? Legally, because I'm way past all that running and ducking the law thing. You know what I mean? That's something I just don't even want to ever deal with again. So whatever feeds. Mm-hmm.
Now, with you being an artist, let's say you have somebody come up to you that's trying to get where you at. What advice can you give them to make them get to where you at?
Be original. Number one thing, be yourself. If you think you sound like somebody else, go back to the drawing board. If somebody tells you after they listen to your CD, "Dag, yo, you sound just like Drake," go back to the drawing board. You're never going to get no. There's no two of nobody. There's no two. You've never heard two of nobody out there. There's no two Tupacs. There's no two Jay-Z's. There's nobody sounds like none of the greats. All the greats sound like themselves, and there's nobody else that sounds like them. So be original.
I definitely agree on that. Now, how long
another
did
thing
you
I want to tell them. Another thing, I always wanted to say this because nobody ever told me this growing up. Another thing I want to tell them is invest in yourself. Don't think you're just going to be spitting hot raps and somebody's going to pick you up and throw you on and give you $1 million. It will never work like that. It might have worked like that back in the days, but it will not work like like that today. You have to invest in yourself. That was something I didn't know when I was younger. If I'd have knew that, I might have been on. You know what I mean? Because there was days, there was times in my life when I had enough money to do whatever I wanted, but I didn't know that. I took my money and went shopping and took trips and bought cars and living like an idiot. That's what I call it now. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
instead of investing in yourself, man, invest in yourself. I don't care if you go broke doing it. Do it.
We have another caller for you. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you
Hello.
Doing?
Your MP on the line.
I'm doing really good. I'm enjoying the interview, and I have to say, out of the two songs that I heard, I like the first one better.
Okay.
And the reason I like that, well, I like the second one too, because I think that all of us have a great style, you know. But
yeah.
The other one, I Love Myself. I think that can help the younger generation as well.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, And I think that, like, for me, when I hear music nowadays, you know, I hope, you know, I always hope that, okay, listening to it, that it can relate, you know, that some of the younger generations can relate to the words.
Yeah. And I definitely try to do that in a lot of my, but see, that's the thing, I try to make music for everybody. So you might hear a song like I Love Myself that the kids today might can relate to, and then you might hear something that maybe some dude sitting in a trap house somewhere looking for the cops out the window can relate to. Then you might hear something that maybe somebody who doesn't do anything but party all day can relate to. Like, I try to give everybody something, because I never know who is going to be the person that becomes my hardcore bomb squad member.
Exactly.
You know?
But I want to say, I'm looking forward to hearing more of your music. I heard you have a lot of CDs, so you have a website where we can go on and listen to the CDs and purchase the CDs online as well.
Oh yeah. Actually, if you go to my Facebook has links all over it that will take you to either my CD Baby account, so you can listen and buy. And I also have links to Dat Piff, where you can download free music from me. But I got all types of links on my page. I got videos you can download. I have everything. You just got to check it out. It's a lot of stuff on there.
Okay, and you'll give your information on Facebook again for us?
Oh yeah, sure. I'll give it to you right now.
Okay.
Actually, all my social media sites are Dat Boy Bomb with a D. D as in David. A, T as in Tom. B as in Bobby. O, Y, and Bomb. B-O-M-B.
Bomb, like B-O-M-B?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right,
all my social sites.
I wish you much success, and I look forward to following your movement.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're
welcome. Now, Bomb, let me ask you. What's the next step for you?
The next step right now is to create a buzz that's so heavy that I can get some people trying to give me some money for distribution. You know what I mean? I know they don't really do distribution no more. It's all these 360 deals and all these different type of things working out right now. But, you know, I really just want to stay independent and build a fan base that can, you know, that really truly love what I'm doing and support me. And I can live off that. You know what I mean? That's my main goal in life right now, to create a fan base that's so strong that no matter what I do, I know they have my back.
I definitely feel you on that one. Well, you know, what I need you to do, you know, when you get those exclusives, send them to us, because, you know, we have 8 different episodes a week with 11 different hosts, so we could rotate them. You know what? We already Love Myself on Monday. We played that. We already started rotating, you know.
That's what's up. Oh, yeah, all day. GQ Palace, all day.
I want you to give out your information to them one more time.
All right.
Let them know where they can get the singles, you know, what you got out, you got it on iTunes. That's another question I want to ask you after you finish giving it out and everything. Let them know all that.
All right, that's what's up. Yeah, I got a few singles on iTunes. You know, you can go to actually any one of those things, and I mean FM. What is it? Last FM, iTunes, CD Baby. Every last one of them are / That Boy Bomb. Everything that exists, I have music on it. You know what I mean? Everything that you can get music off of, you can buy, you can download. You can go to my Facebook page. I have links to everything. I have, like, endless amounts of links on there that you can click. You know, I have links from CDs from all the way back in, like, 2002. So, you know, you can click all day long and figure out which one you like, which one you don't. If you do like it, all I ask is, you know, leave me a little note. If you don't like it, leave me a note and let me know why. That's all I ask.
Okay. Now, this is what I want to ask you. One more question. Now, as far as you being an artist, do you feel iTunes is making it better for the artist now, or do you think it was better as, you know, with the regular labels dealing with the artist?
I think actually iTunes is making it better. Well, it depends. If you're an artist that's lazy and you don't really want to do the work for yourself, then back in the day, you know, was much better before iTunes. It would be better for you. But if you're an artist that's willing to grind, you're willing to work, and you're willing to reap your rewards, iTunes is definitely much better.
Okay. Now, as far as you being concerned, are you looking for something major or something independent? Or it really don't matter?
It really doesn't matter as long as what I'm doing lets me be me. You know what I mean? As long as I can be me. I don't want to sound like nobody else. I don't want to, you know, I just want to be me. If you let me be me, we can make a deal. We can do something.
Yeah. Don't try to change your style around or change your voice or make it sound like
that one.
Right. I don't understand that because that means you're not being original.
Right, and it's like, that's like, you really want something that's not original? Like, is that really what you want? Like, I had a dude just tell me about 2 weeks ago, man, you should add the auto-tune to a couple of your joints, man. The radio will play it.
Wow.
I was like, man, get out of here, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of music with it that sounds great, but it's just not me. I have one. I got one that I did it to try it out, you know what I mean? So I got it in the... I got one in the vault, but it's just not me.
Yeah, it's not original. When you go on stage with you, and you don't have the auto-tune, what are you going to do?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You going to sound like him, or you're going to be Milli Vanilli in it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, D-O-M-B, I want to thank you for joining us. You're welcome anytime. You know what I'm saying? Keep sending us those exclusives. We definitely going to rotate your music. We're going to put you in a magazine. We're going to put you on a mix CD and all that. I got you back, so we definitely going to keep in touch.
Oh, yeah, that's what's up. And I forgot to let you know, I have something that I do called New Music Mondays, where I send out new music every Monday. So you will definitely be the first on the list to get it every Monday. If I'm sending you too much and you're like, we ain't even get to play the first one, you know what I mean? Just let me know.
It's never too much, yeah.
All right, that's what's up. So, every Monday I should be hitting your email. You know, I'll probably give you a call to, give you a heads up.
No doubt. All you got to do is send it. Put Rich Money, boom. Rich Money, boom. For you on Monday show. From there on, we're going to rotate it on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
All right, that's what it is.
No doubt.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Right.
Thanks for having me,
For sure. Like I said, you're welcome back anytime. It's never a problem.
That's what it is.
All right. D-O-M-B, Dons and Divas.
Yeah. Baltimore City, we in the building.
No doubt. We have, I believe it's Jane Miller, but her title of the book is Bingo. The name is Bingo. I'm not sure, but I have him on the line, and we definitely going to get that correct. So pardon me if I'm saying it wrong. He's definitely going to fill us in.
and let us know exactly what's going on. We'll be right back with author Gene Miller. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
Hang on line no more. I'ma be honest. This one time, come here, pretty girl. Church.
Don't have to say goodbye.
I apologize for the person I am. And the ways I'm setting. Around you, so I hit it and I kill it quick. I respect you as a blessing, an investment. I thank you for every turkey bacon breakfast. Early in the morning, while I'm yawning, you roll over on daddy, climb on it. Grab a fresh fruit, stab in your leg, scoop. If you slip and fall, I'll be there for your rescue. I really need you to see the world. Trips to Geneva, girl, right? And that's my reefer twirl. Streets got it in the soda, beef won't stop. It takes you to place me on top. Gaze through the windshield. Baby girl, I been real. Tell me how the temp feel when a real pimp near. But I'm a friend too. Show you what we been do. Walk to the shark bar. Keep it real simple. Coming home to all this newfound sunshine. I ain't get a letter from my homies one time, but she was there for me, ain't miss one time. I got plans for her, put a rock on her hands for her. I'ma be there every chance for her. I plan a bella home with a pillow dome. Two Dobermans, fuck it, throwing the picture phone. I was raised to eat, you had to get your own. Don't front, had to get your own. But you was willing to do anything to get your own. Traffic in the cabinet, even get the kitchen going. Other than the scare, you the one they snitching on. Hope the people fingerprint you scared when they kick it open. I got another plan, brother, take your woman hand. Take it to the motherland, I need another rubber band. We finna escape the ghetto, we finna escape the poverty. It's on my mom right here. And I'm taking my family and my niggas with me, baby. And I want you to be here with me, you know what I'm saying? South in the music in the voucher. Do you for an ounce? I move niggas out. 760 LI live on the E-way. She keep it live, she don't vibe with the he said. She don't sniff draws, call your in-laws. Her main complaint is damn, why 10 cars? I try to make her proud, being that I come from nothing. She know deep inside I'm really shy when in public. You change your subject, think I need another budget. Riding in the bed, driving like I'm in the bucket. She love my wild side, she know I'm about mine. How we lay on the bench, outside. Apple martini bikini, ain't wrapped up in TV. Give me that when you see me raw, just to proceed. We flow Midwest to East Coast, just for the ski slopes. Maybe we should eat low, what you say? Keep hiding your hoes, baby.
Review featuring Rick Ross. But right now, we have Arthur Bingo. Bingo, are you there?
Right here, right here. How you doing, my man?
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Now, I know you were busy, man. You got a lot of things going on. I appreciate you taking out the time to join us this evening.
No problem.
Okay, let's get into your book, Bingo, okay. It's Not a Game. What
okay.
actually made you decide to name your book that title?
Well, I based that book on my life and my experiences, things I've been through. It's more like an autobiography. It's explaining various things I've been through. It shows from the ages of 18 to 25, 32, the transformation from street to professionalism. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Now, okay, you said it's like an autobiography. When and why did you begin writing?
Well, because I've been through so much with different things happening in my life. At one time, I was helping so much people get their feet wet. And when they got to a certain level in their life, they got put on, they forgot where they came from. So I felt the need to tell the world exactly what happened. Then prior to that, my mother was dying. She had the cancer thing going on. And when she closed her eyes, I gave her a promise that the second she left here permanently, the rate she was going through, I was like, you know, when she leaves, I'm going to make something happen, keep her name going. You know? There's a lot of different obstacles that caused me to write that book.
Okay, that was my next question for you. What inspired you? The fact that you made that promise, I believe that's what inspired you to become a writer.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, now, do you have a specific writing style that you use to perfect your writing skills?
You know which person I would have to definitely say inspired me as far as a specific kind of style? Writer Donald Goins. Like, that's the man right there. I mean, when you read his books, you almost get in touch with what personally happened to that man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he gives you a different look on things. Like, when you read his books, you feel it. Like, you almost feel like you're living his life. So that's the kind of direction. That's what I'm trying to, you know, when I was writing that book, I was trying to get that kind of attitude in there, you know?
Yeah, Donald Goins' books are real.
Oh, yeah, his books are serious.
You know,
I got a phone, that's right. Yeah.
Wow. Now, is there a message in your book that you want the reader to grasp?
My message is basically, don't give up. If you got a dream and you want to make something of yourself, do it. Don't let people tell you can't make it. Don't get discouraged. And don't believe the hype as in somebody's going to help you get it. You got to go out there and get it yourself.
Now, is your book... Go ahead, finish.
Well, excuse me, what was that, sir? Yeah, I couldn't get you.
No,
I was basically saying, don't let nobody tell you can't do it. Like, they'll tell you, you know, you do something, people discourage you, telling you, oh, it ain't going to happen. You got to go in there with the attitude saying, look, regardless of what you say, what he says, I'm going to go out there and get it. I'm going to get mine. And just keep it going. Never give up. No matter what you're going through, just keep it going.
I definitely feel you on that. And that's a good attitude to have, especially as you being an author, you know? Because I don't think it's easy being an author, me personally.
Oh, no. You got to have a lot of dedication, and you got to sacrifice a lot as far as you got to say to yourself. It's called self-discipline. You got to get away from everybody, you know, pretty much seclude yourself and just write, type, you know? You're going to have your time, you're going to want to give up, but just keep going. You know?
Now, is your book published or self-published?
It's published. It's published by Page Publishing. It's actually published.
Okay.
And you can get it on Amazon.com. It's all over the place at this point.
Now, as far as the cover, now, a lot of people, I have a lot of authors that come on, and I try to figure this out. You got the softback cover, and you got the hardback cover.
Some people
feel it's softer than hard. Who designed your cover for you? And is it hardback, softback? And how long did it actually take you to get it up on the shelf?
The company I was dealing with, Page, I'm actually still dealing with Page Publishing. They got a beautiful, like a like an art department. And they showed me various different kinds of covers and designs, and I had to go with the one I felt more comfortable with. So the cover that I chose was actually designed by that company. And they tried to make it look similar to me. Like, I didn't use my exact self, but they wanted to use somebody a little similar to the way I look. Like, my kind of character, my kind of swagger, my build. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Now, how long did it actually take you to get the book on the shelf?
Well, that's okay. Let me say, okay, the whole process actually took me, I'm going to say, a year. 1 year. Like, after writing it, I'm going to say 8 months later I got the deal. I'm going to give or take, I'm going to say, 16 months took to get this whole thing off the ground. Before they started putting it up, and, you know, it was a lot of, you like this cover, I didn't like this one. You like, you know, it's pretty much me. I kind of stagnated. Not like I was saying I didn't like what they was doing. But I had to be real selective and pick out the one I really wanted to use because this is my first book, you know? I didn't want to blackball myself and come out with something I don't like. You know what I'm saying?
Now you said it, some of the book is based on, you know, your autobiography. How much of the book is realistic?
Oh, I would have to say out of 100, let me say 95. Because, you know, of course, when you're writing a book, you got to be very, very careful because you don't want to incriminate anybody, say certain things you're not supposed to say. So I had to really, I had to get my point across without hurting nobody, without giving direct names. But when you read it, you'll see what I'm talking. Like, as a reader, you'll see, like, okay, you can tell which parts is really happening. Because I want you to have a visual. Like, when you're reading it, you got to have a visual look as far as, like, I'm trying to get a movie out of this book. So when you're reading it, I want you to almost see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of real. Like, pretty much, I'm going to say 95% of the book is real stuff that really took place.
Okay. Now, you know, give us a little info about the book to make my listeners feel like, okay, yeah, this is something. This is
okay.
A part in the book that makes me feel like I want to get this book right now.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that word, Shadyville. You ever heard of Shadyville?
Yeah, I heard a shade.
Okay, perfect. So if you read that book, you get the direct, you get exactly where it started, exactly how it started. I don't want you'll get the overall, like, you'll know exactly when and who was involved and how it started. I ain't going to say no names, you know, like various DJs that I was working with, they was involved in that project, but they really didn't come back home. So the book is kind of like, if you watch Housewives and all them Atlantic, the drama, the book is filled with a lot of drama in there. Yeah, I got a lot of drama in there. Not that I'm trying to sabotage anybody, but I told the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And Shadyville is one topic you want to hear about. You hear about certain things that took place in Queens years back, like in 92, 93, 89. You hear about various gangs. You hear about the Lost Boys. You hear about D-Saps, you know, TMR. There's a lot of different things I touched. I touched a little bit of everything.
Okay. Now, of course, you said already that, you know, which I believe that Donald Goins is a mentor, considered a mentor.
Oh, he's the man. He's the man.
Okay. Are there any new authors that you feel have grasped your interest?
Oh, let me say, I got a lot of good things with that lady. What's her name? The one that, I actually thought she was Oprah Winfrey's mother one time. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her name. I'm trying to get her name, but it's right there, but I can't get her name. She wrote, what was her name? Yeah, what's this lady's name? There's one book she wrote that really got me. It's called Scorned Woman. I'm not sure if you read that book before, but she's very, very. She got me too. She's another one. When I get her name, I'll let you know. But right now, I'm trying to get it. She's definitely another writer that really gets me.
Scorned Woman. That sounds like something real.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? You wouldn't even think a woman would get. Yeah, she got me. Because certain things she spoke on, it felt like it was my mother writing that book. You get me? Like when somebody's writing a book, like I almost thought my mom was writing the book. And then I touched bases with my, because I did stand-up comedy for a few years as well, so that's in there too. You know, a lot of comedy in there. It's a good book. It's very exciting. Once you read it, you ain't going to put it down. You're going to want to know what's next. You know what I'm saying?
That's the excitement about being a book too. If you don't got that drama and that enthusiasm that make a person be like, okay, you know what?
Yeah. You know, you almost feel like getting into meeting that person and saying, look, what made you write that? You crazy? You know, that's the kind of the energy I tried to put when I was doing that book. But I want people to sit back and say, you know what? What else he got to say? Mm-hmm. And I got at least 30 more books coming to this world, so they got to prepare themselves for me. I'm here. You know?
Now, let me ask you. I want to ask you one question, but my first thing is, did you see yourself even back then, you know, before you wrote your book, being this author, considering the fact you got the book circulating the globe and everything, did you even see yourself as being this big author right now? Because you're doing a lot of things.
Yeah, I thank you. I love hearing that from another man to another one. But you know what's good about what you just said to me? I always felt it. You get me? My teachers told me that when I was little. Like when I was in school, if you gave me a test with multiple choice and an essay, I could fail the whole multiple choice part. But the essay, I bullshitted my way through the whole thing. And I was able to get a high score because of my essays. And after every class, my teacher would tell me, you know what you need to do instead of trying to be the class clown? You need to be a writer. So I heard this all my life. So it was something that, you know, like I was almost destined to do. I heard this all my life.
Wow. Well, we got someone that want to speak to you, so we're going to bring them on the line. Hello.
Oh, no problem.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
How you doing, miss?
I'm doing good. I was listening at you talk about your book and everything.
Okay.
And losing your mom, did it bring you and your family closer or?
Oh, my God. That's another topic. Actually, when I lost my mother, I actually learned that just because you're born family doesn't mean you stay that way.
That's true.
Oh,
you know,
that's true.
Because it separated me where I had to write a book. All the BS I was going through, I just said, you know what? Let me do something for me and mine's. Real quick,
right.
My family, everybody turned their back. It started coming out the closet like he's the favorite and this and all kinds of different things started happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
man.
You know, you would think that a tragedy. Well, yes, it's a tragedy. You know, because I've lost my mother, but you would think that would bring you closer.
Oh,
you know
no.
what I'm saying?
No.
And just make everybody at peace. Like
that's what your
mom would want.
Of course. Of course, but what happens is when you lose your mother, a lot of times people around you, they start realizing, you know what, they get this little jealousy thing almost, because me, when my mother was going through what she was going through, I came back home, I was changing her diapers, I was helping, I was right there with her, so people felt like, she's your favorite in this, I'm like, you know what, I love my mother, that's it, it's not about
right.
it's not about me, it's about
exactly.
my mother, you know?
Right, you know, because at the end of the day, that's just like if my parents was living, I wouldn't want to see them in a nursing home.
No,
I
not.
Would rather take care of them.
Of course.
And I said this before, that it would be hard for me to change an adult's depends or whatever they have to do. But I learned to do that with my oldest sister.
Okay.
And I didn't think that I was going to be able to do it, but it was just like me just changing a baby.
Oh yeah.
You know, because it was like, because
you know what it is, when you're changing your mother's diaper, it's not disgusting to you. It's like that's your mother. She did it for you, so you almost feel it's a natural thing.
Yeah, you know, and I mean I commend you for continuously going on and doing this book and everything like that.
Oh, thank you. God bless you. Thank
you.
You
know, and the thing is, keep your head up.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let whatever someone is saying bring you down.
I won't.
Make sure you shoot to the top every time you think about it. Go to
thank
the
you,
top and
you.
Think about what mom will want.
That's exactly what I did. Just thank you. Appreciate that.
And
thank you.
Blessed. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're
much
welcome.
Love.
Much love to you, too.
Thank you.
Now,
that was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you see writing as a career for you?
Actually, yes. I plan to write. I want to write sitcoms. I want to because, like I said before, I've been writing all my life, and I got stuff written that I have never done nothing with. But for some reason, just because this happened, it's like opened other doors for me. Other doors started opening. I plan to keep writing, you know? This is something I want to do in my life. Because I actually feel it's like you're almost back in your mother's womb when you went. That's how I feel when I'm doing it.
Now, who designed your cover? I don't believe I
asked
that. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Ash, my company, Pace Publishing, one of the artists is on my cover. I'm beautiful.
Now,
very talented.
Okay, now I know it's when some artists, when they cover Divine, that they feel like they don't like it, but the publishing company feel like they got to use it. They got to go along with that. Is that a true statement fact, or is that something that they just...
Okay. Actually, this is what happened. When they first did the cover, they actually had a white boy on there, and I like the whole concept, but because they had the white guy on there, not that I'm being a racist, I just said, I'm an African American man, so can you please have an African American type of person on the cover? Oh, that was the only problem I had at first, but once they did that, perfect. The color was beautiful, the whole concept, it went with the story, you know. Because remember, when the cover also sells the book.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Because you can write the best story in the world, but your art sucks, you lose everybody. At least to me, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe for each his own. The next person might just want to see hear the story, but I look at the art, I look at the whole, I look at the whole thing, the whole layout.
Now, as you being an author, do you feel when you write a novel, it's best to have some type of pictures in your novel, in your book, or is it best to just have the words written in that excitement format to make people want to, read it more? Do you feel like pictures is more important in a novel?
To be honest with you, it depends on what you're writing. Because, like, if me, when I originally started writing this book, my original plan was to have pictures in there. But my company told me, look, you're a new artist. You don't want to just have them thinking that you're a personal album cover. You want to show your talent. And then gradually, as you know, every book you come out with, you show a picture too. But sometimes you throw too much pictures in there, you lose you lose your readers. See what I'm saying? Like too much pictures will start cluttering them. Like they'll start focusing on the pictures more or less instead of the story. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely feel you on that one. Now, besides the fact that you write in your novel, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you had the chance to do it all over again, do you feel like it's something that you would change in it, or you would leave it exactly the way it is?
To be honest with you, the way I wrote it, like I would have made it a little longer, just a little longer. But for the most part, I would have left it just the way I did it, because I felt like I reached everybody real quick. It was just like 94 pages of hardcore stories where I'm not, like, if I come out my first book with like 500 pages, I'm definitely losing people. The less you write, and the more potent every paragraph is, you draw a different crowd of people. And the more,
now,
I mean, the next book will be longer. As the more I write, the more book, the longer the books will get.
Do you feel? Okay, let me ask you this. Do you feel anything that you find particularly challenging when you write them?
It's the most challenging part is finishing every chapter and trying to flow with the next chapter without losing my story. When you write something, you want to have a beginning, you want to have a middle, and you want to have an ending. But this is like when you're writing a paragraph. But when you're writing a whole book now, you got to make every chapter flow natural, just a natural flow. So this way you're not crashing too much information, or clubbing too much information in one chapter and just repeating yourself on the next chapter. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely get what you're saying in that. That's something real interesting.
Yeah, these are little tricks you start. These are little tricks you start getting as you write. You get your own little way of throwing out your metaphor, your punchlines, but overall it's fun. It's a beautiful thing. Know what you were saying?
Now, what was the hardest part about writing your book?
The hardest?
The hardest part about writing your book.
The hardest part, I would have to say, is keeping my focus. When I say that, you got kids, you got your own personal things going on with your personal life. And when you start writing something, it's kind of hard to stop and then going back to that same part and continuing. So the hardest part for me was keeping my focus and trying to get it done. Because sometimes I find myself getting tired, didn't want to finish it, and I was ready to put it down and say, you know what? But then you got to keep that drive going, that keep the energy going. That was the hardest part to me.
Now, I know a lot of people learn certain things when they write their book. Is there anything that you feel you learned from writing your book? And if so, what was it and why?
Well, what I learned is I got a very good memory, and I also learned that I could be funny and I could be very sad at the same time. And I learned how to get my point across without hurting anybody's feelings or stepping on anybody's toes. So it's tricky. There's tricks to that. That's a tricky question, actually, because you know there's a lot of things you learn, but then every chapter is different. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we have another caller for you on the line. We want to bring them on.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Kia. How are you guys?
Okay. How you doing,
hey,
Kia?
Hey, Kia. How you doing?
I'm fine. I haven't read your book. I am a big reader, but I haven't read your book.
Okay.
And then when the link came up, because I am an Amazon Prime member, Amazon sent a lot of book readers. They sent upcoming. I said, let me see if this is in my mailbox. I don't know if your book was there. You need to get on Goodreads so everybody else will see your book on Goodreads. I don't know if you know about Goodreads.
Well, I heard something about it.
It's all about readers. People that it's a big reader. So people will get to know. But I know your book came out, I think, last month or something, July?
Yeah, July.
Yeah. So when it came up, when I saw it, I'm like, oh, but I haven't read yet. But I am going to I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna ask you, should I buy your book?
Oh, sure. You're gonna enjoy reading it.
Am I gonna get to the chapter one and then be like, oh, and then chapter two, three, and four be like?
No, see that's exactly what I made sure I didn't do to my readers. I made every chapter is better than the first, the other one. Like chapter two is better than one, three is better than two, four is better than, you know. So as you read it, you'll see.
Because those are books that you want to read. Because when you get to chapter one, you're like, when they get to chapter two,
I got you.
You don't catch up on a book until chapter eight and nine. I'm like, well, what the hell are you going to do?
Yeah, no. I made sure when I wrote this book, every chapter is better than the last.
And memoirs are hard. You know, memoirs are totally hard. Because it's about your life, and you want to be able to like read them, like wow,
yeah,
oh my god, I just read yesterday. I read this guy's book. I mean, y'all gotta read it. I'm gonna be able to tell people that. Somebody called me and said, don't read this book, bro. Oh, you got the 1, 5, and 6 is probably better. Everything else is not that good.
Oh, what?
You don't want people.
No, that's why I took my time when writing this book,
exactly.
And I made sure.
Memoir, you have to.
Yeah, yeah. I made sure the publishing company I was dealing with. I made sure. When they started doing their editing, I told them, make sure you don't change anything. Keep it in my exact writing.
Because with memoirs, it just brings, because you tell your story exactly how your life and reflecting your life, it pours out in the book. And you're like, wow.
Exactly.
And then you can read it and be like, y'all got to get this book. And you're like,
I want readers to read that book and almost know who I am by reading the book.
Exactly. That's the key word, because if somebody said, did you read, so like, then you can just tell them, let me tell you, did you read chapter 5 of his book? Remember when he said so-and-so? You can remember exactly what that chapter. Those are
fine. So you're a writer? You write? You sound
no,
like a
I
writer.
Read. I am a big reader. I read because I'm the type of person who reads. So if somebody comes tell me something about a book, I said, I didn't read it in that book.
Okay, so you're going to enjoy Bingo's Not
you
Again.
You can't pass something past me.
Oh,
it won't come past
you guys.
So when I read something, I want to be able to enjoy that book and be able to tell somebody else. Because I'm not going to tell none of my friends. I'm like, don't girl.
Nah, you're going
to. Go to the library and read the book. You're not going to enjoy that book.
I'm not trying to sound cocky and arrogant, but I guarantee
you. No, you're supposed to sound cocky and arrogant about your book.
You're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it, miss. Guarantee
you're supposed to have confidence in your book. Because confidence,
no doubt. But you're going to enjoy it.
And get it on Goodreads, because that's where everybody be at when they be looking.
Okay.
Looking at everybody's book, reading everybody's book, and then they can tell you, and like, Cleta Johnson, she just wrote a book. So, oh, see, can't read my, you know, but I said, I hope it's good. I hope I'm not reading chapter 1 through 8, and it's not even all that. Because my book is good. I'm like,
good,
okay.
Good. You know what? I'm going to definitely tell my publishing company to reach out to Goodreads, find out about that. That's definitely. I'm going to check that out.
You throw your book up there, let everybody read the book, get some feedback where everybody's talking about the book. And people are going to put comments on Amazon anyway. A lot of people, if they read the book, they're going to put comments on Amazon. Amazon is another place people go look at comments and see what they're reading about the book. And then I heard when I first came on about pictures. No, pictures are not good in the book.
No, that's what I was just telling my boy.
Pictures are not good in the book.
No.
All right, now.
But listen, for each his own. Some people love pictures, you know?
Only time could it be in a book when you got, like, books that Martin Luther King wrote so you could see, like, wow, stuff like that. Books like that, history, not memoirs. Only like history books.
Well, yeah, you know what? I understand it going. But it's a question to ask. You know, my line is flooded. I need to ask me questions. Got people listening. You know, all ages listening.
I understand what you asked that question, but I'm saying right now, I am not a big fan of pictures and.
Like, if you read a book, you can't see. Yeah.
Ain't got time to be looking at nothing. You got time to be like. Sitting in that book and like, wow, and then you finish that book because the book is good. And any average reader, if that book is good, they finish that book in a day and a half.
Yeah,
and they
feel
like, oh my God,
that's why.
I hope he's coming out with another two. I hope he's coming out with something that's real good.
That's like myself. I read a lot. I write a lot.
Right.
I read a lot.
So you know, when you read a book, you could be done with that book. And I'm not a Kindle person, so I like the paper.
Yeah.
I don't like the handheld. I like the paper. I still love going to the library. So I'm like, you know, the handheld.
Oh, so you could go to Barnes and Nobles and Barnes and Noble.
Amazon Prime, we get our book the next day. You order today, you get the book the next day. That's
next
only for Prime members.
Yeah.
So you can, I love the paper. I don't like the Kindle holding it and touching my phone, flip it. No, I want to see the paper and turn the pages down.
Okay, yeah, as you being a reader, and, you know, we have being a one author, what would you say is the best aspect to keep a person reading that novel and keep reading it and make them want to go to the next book to read it. They got
his writing. The writing. Because you know great writing. It's nothing like great writing.
Yeah.
Great storyteller. It's nothing like a great storyteller. You ever listen to somebody tell a story and you listen to how somebody can tell a story. One person can tell it their way, another person can tell it their way.
Yeah.
And you listen to how somebody talks, you're like, wow. And you listen to the other person tell a story, what the hell? It doesn't even sound like the other person that written it.
It's just about
the writing.
The writing, yep.
You got to be passionate. You put everything you want to do in that book, it's going to turn out to be a bestseller. Because everybody's going to pick up that book. You got to get that book, get the copy.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to get that copy and start reading. Because if I'm an average reader, I can tell somebody about that book. And they're like, well, I'm like, mm-mm. Well, you can see that book, you watch it. And they can tell, say, Kia, you are absolutely right. I told you. Y'all, that book was good. Those are average readers.
So
they can go from chapter to chapter and say what happened.
You're going
to
enjoy my book. Trust me.
So I'm in this little challenge with you read 60 books a year, and it's to cure illiteracy.
Okay.
So we're in this challenge that we read 60 books. So you know I'm up to 65, so hopefully I probably read 80, but I'm not gonna go over 80 because I don't read so much.
It's
like this,
so you're a true reader.
It's on my page. If anybody be looking, what you reading now, Kia? So they go to my Facebook page. They see all the books I have read because I put every book that I have read, and every book that I have read is on Goodreads too.
Okay.
Because I log every book that I read, and then we just talking about the books and stuff.
I'm gonna definitely check out Goodreads.
I think when you talk with authors and they have passion and they can talk about what they're writing, and memoirs are awesome because they're telling about themselves, and they put everything they've written into that book.
I think that's a great author.
I'm not knocking any authors, but a lot of authors cannot write.
No, you're right. I agree with
they cannot write. I cannot believe.
No,
she's
100%
okay,
right.
And then you get to the back of the book, ain't nothing from five.
But you know, I'm gonna tell you why. As an author, I'm gonna tell you why a lot of them don't write correctly because they let their publishing company dictate what they got to say. When you write something and you feel comfortable with what you wrote, you go with that. Don't let nobody change your mind.
You put it in the book.
Don't let nobody change your mind.
Because it doesn't make no sense. When you put out a great book The first two books is awesome. Then you start, now you like, I won't use the word cocky. You get out with your next fourth, you get out with your third book and fourth book, it is not that good. Like, where did the writing go? And the first two books was good, but your third and fourth book was a bomb. Nobody want to read it. And then you ask the person, like, well, did you read my third book? And you can't, well, let me tell you right now, I read it, and I don't know what to tell you about that book. Now,
okay.
That's what I say. I don't know if you go to the Harlem Book Fair. I know you know about the Harlem Book Fair.
Yeah, I go there.
Yep, so I'm, you know, I love the Harlem Book Fair. So, you know, you authors out there, I'm like, oh, did you read my so-and-so book? I'm like, not to say anything bad about the book, but
I like that.
Five and one was not even all that. And then you look at how many copies they sold, and you wonder why.
I got you. I like that. That keeps me on my toes. Like,
that's why
me,
when they ask that book, I'm the person. Don't ask me about your book. Don't ask me about that book.
If you read that book,
I'm gonna tell you no. And I did not tell anybody else about that book. Everybody I know that read a book, like, well, it was okay. It was not okay.
Now, this book is pretty good.
It's not okay. We are not telling nobody.
That's what I like. I like that.
Yeah, so that's just
like,
and everything.
Okay.
Yeah,
she don't sit
on
none. I like that. Very good, good.
So I'm gonna pick up your book, but I'm gonna have to pick it up. I just gotta order it, and then you know.
Okay.
And I was just sharing with Lavina how Kindle people, they get a little bargain coming on. You know, if you get a Kindle, it's a little bargain.
Okay.
You know, they got, and then on Amazon. But one thing about your Amazon, it comes, even Barnes & Noble, it comes the next day.
Barnes & Noble,
you can order in this order, like I could order tonight and pick it up in New York City tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? You can just pick it up.
Okay.
That's one thing about Barnes & Noble. You can just go pick it up the next day.
Next day, yep.
Right. That's for any readers, if they want to pick up a book, they just got to wait a week for a book. No, you don't have to wait a couple of days.
No, you go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, same day.
You can order
next
that book
day.
And you can pick it up in the store if you want.
Yep.
And they'll have it right there for you. So you're not going to do any book signing soon, or?
I'm in the process of trying to find somewhere right now, but I'm trying to reach out now. Like, I'm promoting myself, like going to different venues and meeting different people.
Right.
And wherever I sell the most, like if I sell more here, wherever I sell the most, I do my book signing there first.
Right.
That's how my PR manager is doing it.
Right. I know they have a lot of, I know they get together, like authors, black authors are getting together. I want to say Atlanta. I have to look at my email.
Yeah, that's exactly Atlanta. Mostly Atlanta.
Yeah,
they're
getting together. They're getting together soon in September, and they're going to talk about their book. And I know that's a great, I went down there in 2009. That's the last time I've been down there for an event down there. I haven't been since, I've been so busy. But it's always in September, and they have one also in New Orleans.
New Orleans, and they got a real good one in Chicago too as well.
Yeah,
Chicago,
and they got the literacy. They got the authors, but I know the authors is coming. That one is coming up in a few couple of weeks.
Yeah, like
where
they're
gonna get together.
December 19th.
Like, people come. Mm-hmm. All the book readers from all over book clubs. That's you want to see book clubs, because book clubs they invite the authors to their book club meetings or book clubs, and then they have your book display, and people be buying your books and stuff.
Exactly.
Book club.
But see, what I found out when you, as an author, you got
to
get out there and do your own footwork, because
you
might have a manager, but you got, if you believe in your work, they believe in your work, but you got
to
really
they
go
do.
Out there.
And you have to be able to sell yourself. You have to be able to put that book out there. Tell us book club. Look, y'all can read. Y'all can read. My book should be the next book on your book club list, and I'm gonna say the reason why my book should be on. And then they like, okay, and then they ordered it, and a lot of book clubs got over 20 members, and they ordered their book for their book club.
Yep.
So that's a good thing about that. When you're doing legwork, it's a lot of book clubs.
No,
so they have authors that come. And
the colleges, too. I go to a lot of colleges.
The
upcoming writers, I go out there and do little speeches.
Morgan down at Morgan State does a lot of stuff. He does a lot of things down there.
Yeah,
and
what was that?
Homecoming.
Where are you actually from?
I'm actually from Queens, Hollis.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Queens.
I'm
in Queens, man. I lived in the Bronx one time too, Gun Hill, around that area. And I'm all over the place, but I'm actually originally from Queens.
But you used to check out the homecoming is coming up too.
Yeah.
In October with a lot of colleges. Yep.
I look into that.
Great venues down there.
Okay. You learn something new every day, you know?
always. You always got to always pick up something new, learn something new from somebody, and never know. And then somebody, you know, just never know.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Always good to keep your eyes open, your ears open, too.
Definitely.
So you never know what passes by and what you hear.
Exactly.
I always think about that. You never know.
Never
but
know.
But I'm definitely going to, because this is the first time I never read a book that Rich had on the author on the show. This is the first time, Rich, I never read the book yet. Talk about the book. Because I didn't, when I saw the book, I didn't even know. I didn't think, I didn't read that book.
Oh. Wow.
Every author we had on, she done read the books already.
I have not read this guy's book, but I heard about, oh my God, and he's on the show. So she said, I said, yeah, I want to go on the show. Let me see what he's talking about. But I heard, you know, we're just talking about pictures. I'm like,
pictures.
But you
like
left this one in Rich. I give it to you because I have not read it.
Every author I had come on, she'll sit there and tell them about the book that they read and everything. I'm a big author. I'm like,
oh, wow. Oh, so
I did not read this one. I am guilty. I'm guilty.
You know, we put it all over, but she's mainly, I could say she's the faithful author, book calling. She'll let you know.
It seems like she knows about her books.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm guilty of this one, Rich. You got this one in. I give it to you. I did not read this book. So I cannot talk about chapter 5 of your book. I cannot talk about chapter 6 or whatever. I cannot say nothing about your book, but I'm definitely going to read your book. So
okay, I appreciate that. You got nah. Then you lie. You let me know how it is. So I want you to let me know how. I want to hear all the critics.
Yeah.
I want to hear it. I want to know how you know how you took it when you read it.
Yeah, I am. I'm gonna get the book. I am definitely gonna order the book. So it's gonna be, it'll come to me. So that's one thing I like about being an Amazon Prime member and Barnes
Noble. Okay, so you get it.
The next day. Yeah, you
good
get the book. One thing about that. And, yeah. So I don't want to order. You can order with Kindle on your phone. I don't like Kindle.
No, I don't like it.
Paper.
I'm not into Kindle.
Yeah, I'm a paper person. I like the book. I want to fill the book.
Okay.
So it was a pleasure. I wish you much success.
Oh, thank you.
Hope you're going to write something else out here. And, you know,
I enjoyed
some
talking
other
to you as well. Thank you.
Yeah, and then you'll be out here on some of these Zoom news. I'll see, you know, because I get all the emails about.
I'll meet you. Definitely.
Any venue from AALBC, you know, and they always have the book new authors come out and stuff like that. So they'll let you know if you're out touring somewhere, things like that. If you're in the Philly, New York area, yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of stuff that goes down in Philly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Philly.
A lot of stuff that goes down in Philly.
I've been noticing a lot of them. They send me to Chicago a lot.
Yeah,
Chicago.
Because that's where they have one of the best spoken words. This group down there, awesome spoken words. This guy, Michael London, awesome. They got a great spoken word, and they got a nice cafe down there, y'all.
Okay.
I used to do that when I was in college and stuff like that. Because, I can't do it like that now because I have to, you know, be at work and got to get back here. My college is there. Yeah, I can go. With no obligation for work.
Okay.
Yeah, but I wish you much, you know.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
I love hearing that.
I'm going to keep writing. I'm going to try to keep writing. That's
keep
it.
Writing.
Keep
That's
going.
What you got to keep writing. Keep writing.
Keep
Take
going.
Your time. Make it good. Make it good.
Yeah,
if it's good, it's going
to
sell.
Thank you. All right. I know it.
Thanks, Rich. You got me on this one.
You're welcome, Tia. All right.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Oh, you too, man. Have a good one. Nice talking to you.
All right.
Then we have another call. But yeah, she's every author I bring
yeah,
on.
I like her.
That's
she's a straight shooter.
She's going to tell you exactly what's wrong.
I like that.
You know,
that.
Don't like the book or whatever the case is.
And that's what you need, honesty.
Mm-hmm. You need that from people because if they're not going to be truthful, why even read the book?
Exactly.
No. But we have another caller for you. I want to bring them on.
No problem.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How's everything?
Good. I just wanted to mention, you guys mentioned the Kindle.
I've been traveling with my Kindle because it's too much to carry around all these books in the car.
Okay.
So my question is, because I was actually talking to Key about the Kindle too, because some of the books, they say that they are available on Kindle, but then for some reason I can't get it. But is your book available on Kindle?
Yes, I'm almost 100% definitely certain it's on Kindle.
Okay, but it's definitely on Amazon anyway.
Oh, Amazon, yeah, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, definitely.
Okay, okay. And what would separate your book from another book, another author's book? What's the separation between the two?
I would have to say, if I had to say separate, as far as raw honesty, I'm a straight shooter. I told like it was. I told like it is. I didn't try to hurt nobody's feelings. I drew you in by interest and excitement. A lot of drama, a lot of comedy. It's mixed with a whole bunch of different things. That's why I say I'm a little different than anybody else.
Okay, so it's not something that you'll read that initially.
No, it's not that old gang shoot 'em up and gang banging. No, no, it's a whole bunch of stories in one.
Okay, all right, good. And are you in the New York area? I didn't hear.
Yeah, I actually live in Queens.
Okay, and are you in at any of the bookstores out in Queens, or pretty much just all online for right now?
No, isn't Barnes and Noble. There's stores in Queens, but like I said, it's just like. It's been a month now. It's just starting to rotate. It's just starting to happen. So, I'm in the beginning process. So, I'm getting around. They got me going to different venues and stuff.
Okay. And where do you see yourself with your book in the next year? Since it just came out last month, where do you see yourself with it?
I know one thing. This group in Jersey, they're trying to turn it into a movie already. I'm getting a movie deal offered already for this. So I see a movie / my next book coming out probably next March. No, not even before that. I'm saying give or take I'll be done by December. So by March, my next book will be done. So I see a movie with this one. I just see success coming. That's all. I just see me keep going.
And what do you think the drive is going to be? Like originally this book, I think you were saying was, with your mom passing away.
Oh yeah.
And then
my drive with this, my next few books, I'll be honest with you, is that baby mama drama. That's my drive to make sure I make these kids have what they want out of this world. Because when these baby mamas trying to take you back and forth to court and this and the third, using the kids as shields, it gives you a little more strength to do something better for yourself and your children.
Okay.
You know?
And then hopefully, in there, that'll give, some legal standpoint. So,
exactly.
What to do and how to present yourself when you go to
exactly.
court and stuff like
Thank
that.
You. Yes. So then I look at you as that typical, you want to lay down with this girl and that girl have a kid. And No. They're looking at me as an author, a man, trying to make a chance, a better way for the children. I'm doing this for the kids' future, so they can go to college. They can go out there and say, look, my last name is Malo. I'm proud to be Malo, you know?
Right. Okay. Wow. Well, I'm going to definitely try to download it on my Kindle from Amazon. If not, I'll be ordering it as well.
Okay. Thank you.
But I wanted to ask you, do you, you know how everyone, some people have book clubs. Do you come to, someone's house and do, the book club? Do you sign the book, a personal autograph there?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you willing to do that? Okay.
I'm that kind of person. Because I wrote this, I'm more in touch with trying to get into my reader's head. So if you're a reader and that's what you want me to come over there and sign your book personally, I'll do it. I'm not Hollywood yet, like they say. I'm on the come up, so I'm trying to make everybody, all my readers happy.
Okay. All right, good. Well, I'm excited. I can't wait to read it.
Oh, thank you.
We'll definitely post my feedback on it in your inbox, so just so you know how my thoughts on it.
Okay.
And, rated on Amazon and Barnes and Nobles and everything, too.
Okay.
And I'll spread the word amongst my friends. So definitely take a look
at
it.
Oh, you do that. Very much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Have a good one.
Right, Bingo, let me ask you.
Yeah.
What's the best thing and the worst thing about being an author?
The best thing and the worst thing about being an author. Well, the best thing is the creativity, the fact that you can sit down and write a story and get and draw people in to get your attention. Now, the bad thing about being an author is, okay, you might be creative, but are people understanding what you're trying to say? The hardest part is trying to reach and get your point across without hurting anybody. That's the hardest part about being a writer. The good part about it is creating it. The hard part is drawing people to understand exactly what you was thinking when you was creating it. See what I'm saying?
Wow. Okay. Definitely understand that. Now, because we seem to be running out of time, do you have any advice for other upcoming authors that you feel like they should know, which would be good advice for them?
My advice to up-and-coming authors is do it, do it, do it. Don't sugarcoat. Don't say next week. I mean, it just take a couple of minutes. It's 24 hours in a day. Just take 2 hours a day and write something, if that's what you want to do. And don't have nobody tell you you can't do nothing. If you put your mind to it, you can do anything you want to do. Because writing is actually an art. Just like being a rapper, just like being a singer, a dancer, some people are creative by writing. So if you have that ability to write something and make it make sense, do it. That's my advice to any author and upcoming authors coming up.
Wow. Now, is there anything you will have that you have specific that you would like to say to your readers?
What I want to say to my readers specifically is when you read it, I want you to read it and almost visualize what was on my mind when I was writing it, what I was feeling, because that's what I did. When I wrote it, I put my energy in every chapter. At the end of every chapter, I started it off with energy. I finished it off with some stronger energy. So by the end of the book, especially the last line, I'm not going to tell you what the last line is. After you read the last line, you'll be like, wow, what's next?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Well, you know, Bingo, I want to thank you for joining us. You're welcome back anytime.
Oh, no problem.
Everybody the info, let them know every place they can get the books, how they can contact you and everything.
Okay, all right. First off, I'm going to give everybody my Facebook page. It's Gene Malore. Gene as in J-E-A-N. Malore as in M-E-L-L-O-R. You can get me at Instagram. Bingo is not a game. Bingo, it's not a game on Instagram. You can get me at my Yahoo account. Bingo is not a game at yahoo.com. And that's pretty much, I usually give everybody those three ways to get me because I'm always on the computer anyway. Once they contact me, I'll give them more information as far as my telephone. Because like I said, with all the baby mama drama, I'm constantly changing my numbers. So it's not like keeping the same number, you know what I'm saying? Those are my three direct ways you can get to me. It was a pleasure talking. I like talking to you too, man. I'm going to be calling you a lot, trust me.
Yeah, you got my number. If not, I believe you got my number. If not, I'm going to definitely give it to you. Right after the show, you can see me, because I got yours anyway. And
okay.
I'll definitely put it in and let you know you got that. That's my math right there.
Okay. Sounds good, my man. I appreciate you having me on your show, man. Thank you a lot.
We're going to put it in the magazine. We're going to promote it as well.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. We got a magazine. Good for you. Good. Beautiful. Thanks a lot, man. My PR manager needs to see these things. So they could up some more money to me, you know? Because maybe one hand could watch it. You don't know what I could help you. We could help you. You know, you never know what could happen in this. This is the beginning of something good.
Everything's for a reason.
Everything's for a reason, my brother. I believe that 100%.
Yeah, everything's for a reason. But I'm definitely going to send you my number, because I have your number already.
I'm
going to let you know this is Rich Money for Jiggy Flies Radio. So keep me logged in. Anything come up, I'm definitely going to let you know about it.
Okay, brother. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, I got your number.
I
like to tell everybody, get that book, man, and enjoy it. Read it. Enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? I want everybody to read it and enjoy it. All right, brother?
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna definitely send you a text right after the show, because so you know it's me.
I got you.
Bye-bye.
All right, peace.
All right. Arthur Bingo, Dons, and D.
make sure y'all pick up his book because he's heard his fire, you know, circulating the globe real hard. Now, I want to tell y'all that's it for tonight's show. I want to thank my guests. I want to thank the callers. I want to thank the listeners. But most of all, I want to thank the man above because without him, none of this would be possible. Don't forget, August 25th is going down. It's going to be bananas. Club of Law, 3302 Queens Boulevard, Nonstop Media, DQ Palace, be in the building, DJ Coco Chanel, Video City, LaToya Dimes, performing Anaya Armstead, Casanova Rudd, Rough Rider's going to be in the building. It's going to be crazy. So make sure you tune in for that. I mean, go out and check that out. It's going to be bananas out there. Happy birthday to my mom. Her birthday is August 26th. You know, I'm shouting out happy early. Happy birthday to her. Also, don't forget, DQ College has 8 episodes a week with 11 different hosts. This Sunday, there will be no Spiritual Sunday and no Crossroad Tempo. But for future references, so y'all know, Spiritual Sunday come on 7 to 9 with Lavina Polite and Minister Arthur Weversby opening in prayer. From 7 to 9, they play gospel music, quote scriptures of the Bible. Feel free to call in and give your testimony. After them is Crossroads Temple with Faith Walker as he interviews gospel artists and hip-hop gospel artists and speaks to you about the word of the Lord. That's from 9 to 10. So Spiritual Sunday, 7 to 9, Crossroads Temple, 9 to 10. Monday, we have UAR Radio, Unsigned Artist Radio, where you will have a different host every week promoting and playing the hottest up-and-coming R&B, hip-hop artists and pioneers material. Never heard before, exclusive tracks. That's from 8 to 9. Look for us soon because we're thinking about going 2 hours as the show proceed on. And that's on Mondays. On Tuesdays, you have GPS, DQ College Sports with the mayor, bringing you the bigger picture from 8 to 10. You're wondering how he say it? Hard body karate. That's GPS Sports, DQ College Sports with the mayor, 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. Wednesdays, you have the Diva Squad in the building, bringing you the grown and sexy topics and playing the hottest slow jams and R&B out. Old school, new school. That's Rachel, T, Angie, Diva Squad doing their thing. Right after them, that's from 7 to 9 on Wednesdays. Right after them, from 9 to 10, you have Fallout Comedy with Rakim Chick Singleton, the comedian, bringing you the funniest jokes and hilarious laughter, have you holding your stomach on Radio Live. Excuse me. That's 9 to 10 on Wednesdays. Right after the Diva Squad, 7 to 9 on Thursdays, you have Reality and Relationship with KL and Tiffany Belvin, bringing you stories of the world news that's going on today and giving you that truth to the matter feedback and relationship. That's from 8 to 10 on Thursdays. Then Friday, you're right back here on DQ Palace Radio with Rich Money. Y'all have a safe and blessed weekend. Once again, shout out to my mom on her birthday. Y'all all be blessed. This is Rich Money, GQ Palace Radio. Love it.
It's butter, baby.
We out.
To the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, step into the palace. Better check your matters, find divine savage. Not average, sonny, I'm rich money. A king of among men from sin if you're ugly. Hug me polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, now if you're glisten. Love life loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dude's house, spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the guff on that Turner style, untainted. A messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross Wright. Stepping to Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rise, survive all your lives. Most high too good, so I keep staying high. Why parable, GQ, non-comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, with colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters that you curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.